Good morning. Welcome to Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. This is live financial talk radio for the next 3 hours. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, we have a couple more comments from last week's Gregory Ricks live event, the comment cards that we're going to be going over. Talk about what happened in the financial world this week. Coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to give you our caller of the week. Robert from Past Christiane had an interesting situation with a mother-in-law's irrevocable trust, and we dealt with that a couple days ago on the Daily Wrap. We'll revisit that in the noon hour. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, our guest from the Total Wealth Authority is Dwayne Stein. He is the host of Mortgage Gumbo here on one of our affiliates, but also the mortgage lending authority that we go to and we lean on. He'll be talking to you for an entire hour coming up in just 1 hour. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can also reach out to us, send us a text message via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Come say hi and leave us a message on Facebook. You can email Gregory at GregoryRicks.com. Any way you want to get in touch with us. You got about 2 hours and 55 minutes to get that question in. I want to start off, though, talking about this ongoing process where Gregory's just kind of putting some rules on the road on how to develop your own retirement philosophy, your own investing philosophy, your own philosophies when it comes to money. And there's not a one-size-fits-all philosophy. Everyone has to be tailored to their own specific needs. And that comes down to their own specific needs is what we did in step two here. Your goals. What are your goals? How do you determine what your goals are? So just to walk into this, last week we talked about determining your risk tolerance, your uncle point, as you like to call it, how to incorporate that risk tolerance into your risk-reward sort of profile. Is that the right word for it? So then you determine how aggressive you are, what you're willing to do. The next thing you need to do, set goals for investing. We talked about this a little bit during the week, but I always like the Saturday version because we have more time to chop this out. So goals, I mean, to the guy who's first walking into the show for the first time, he's like, what do you mean goals? How about I want to save as much money and make as much money and have as much money as I can for retirement? Well, you need to be a little more nuanced than that because there's a lot of different avenues to get there, but there's also a lot of different destinations people want to end up at, and it's not all the same.
You know, investing is a lot like trying to choose an exercise plan and not having an end weight goal. And we had a caller the other day regarding this topic as well. Kind of said, well, how much should I have? What's that number? And then we had some interaction with a viewer on Periscope as well regarding that number bothered him, because we kind of talked about, you need to have a seven-figure goal kind of. Now, that's, for a young person, that's kind of a given that you should expect to get that much money. But when we go trying to pick, well, how much should I have? Should I have 700,000, 1 million, 1.5? 2 million, and it really comes down to more so about income. You need to work out where you want to be income wise, because we can do the reverse way. Well, save up 900,000, you should be fine. 900,000, that's a good number. Well, it's, and you say, well, why is that a good number? Well, because you wanted a number, I gave you a number. How much income would that generate? Well, let's say $40,000 a year if you're retiring, say, 66 or older. Well, that's not going to be enough. Well, you ask for a number. Now you've already correlated. Well, that's not going to generate enough income. Right. We should have started with income, needs, wants, or are you trying to replace your actual income? So we need to talk about sources of income. What's your pension? Is there a pension? You have anything else that could generate income? Life insurance, rentals, as I mentioned, your pension. You have any annuities? Are you participating in Social Security? You said, well, that's a weird question. Of course I am. No, not everybody does. You're a state employee of Louisiana. on the Louisiana's pension system, you're not participating in Social Security. So just like the discussion the other day, well, what do I need to generate $60,000 a year in income? If you're just looking for that number, that's pretty easy. About $1.5 million based on, say, 4% income stream. That's actually pretty easy to get to. Now, the listener, viewer, the other day said, oh, that's a lot of money.
I remember that was Jared on the scope. Yeah,
yeah, that's like, now I'm depressed. It's a lot of money. I said, well, that's part of it. Now, I asked about all those sources of income. And let's say Jared responded and said, I don't have any sources that you mentioned except for Social Security. So we came back and said, okay, well, if you're getting $30,000 a year in Social Security when you retire between you and your wife, just kind of using a round number, we didn't have a chance to have a conversation and explore it, so I'm going to make an assumption as an example. So he's wanting $60,000, getting $30,000 of it. I would probably say he needs $750,000 to generate $30,000 a year income. Now, that's not as big of a hurdle. He's like feeling better about that. But that's in today's dollars. What is it going to look like if you're 40 and asking that question? So we might should factor in some inflation. But an easy way to look at it is today's standard. So we need to be growing assets. We need to be growing more than we expect. Now, if you're within 5 years of retirement, you know, getting that goal number is a lot easier because we're not too far away from pulling that trigger. But you have to start with income.
Yeah, and that's one of the first things that people have to rearrange their thinking around. It's not about that big, giant pile. It's not about that big number. Because, like you said, Social Security will kill that immediately. But you know, if your wife has a pension, or if your wife doesn't participate in the Social Security plan, that's going to wildly change the amount you need. Because it really is all about what do you need to replace your standard of living, what do you need to have a decent life in retirement. So if you're used to $60,000 or $100,000 a year, you know, these are vastly different sums. But also, like you said, what if your dad leaves you an IRA that is kicking out income for you because you got to take distributions from it, or you know, there's all kinds of other things. So it really is all about income streams. And if
that's the whole purpose of accumulating retirement money, is about generating income that will last the rest of your life. And that's what you're looking for. And that's what you have to think about. You can go look at that big number on your 401k or your balance sheet of your overall investments. But it's how do you turn that into income, or what will it generate? And that's where because I have a lot of meetings where people have come in and what they're wanting to know, am I on the right path? Are we looking good? Are we on the path? Sometimes they're not even on it, or sometimes said, right now you can't find the path where yet. That's kind of not good if you can't find the path, but usually it's on the path. And what we're looking at, and you know, the discussion early is about income. Even before we get to inventory of assets, we're talking about monthly income. And it's going to come down to what do you want, and then what do you need. So there's three different numbers, kind of. And a want could be the same as your income. But really, from an income standpoint, you don't net all that money that you're grossing. For whatever reason, 401k contributions, taxes, medical deductions, such as that. And you could have the wants. I need money for trips and such, new car, and then you get to the need. What does it take to keep your lifestyle going every month? Or if we have to tighten up, what does it take to pay the bills? Then we start developing, okay, now we know the goal. And if we factor in inflation, and we are, to see what that number's needing to be, you know, 10, 15, 20 years out, or could be where are you in the next 3 years. And sometimes it's really having to reset their thinking. We had somebody, it's actual client, called in and said, hey, I want to turn on $5,000 a month in income. How do we do that? Well, First off, we had to tell her, you're going to run out of money in 8 years because you don't have the money to do that. We've never had a discussion like this before. If we did, it correlated the, you know, husband's income, her income, Social Security, such as that.
Yeah, and then when you walk it backwards, the next question is, when do you plan to retire? What's your goal? Or if that's too soon, when can you retire and still meet your goal? And that's one of the bigger factors is how much time you have until retirement because of compounding interest. And that vastly changes the number we're really trying to get to. And that's how much you need to be putting away every month.
Like when you have time, and let's say 10 years at 7.2% as an example, you could double your money in 10 years. So when you have time, there is that compounding of interest. Sometimes we're having a discussion where it's a few years away, say 4 or 5, even if it's college planning for the kids or it is about their retirement, it becomes more about how much can you put away because you're going to affect it on yield, but not that much. It's more about what do you shove into the account each month, each year.
And when you did it backwards for me, here, Parker, here's what you're going to need to be a millionaire when you retire at 65. You mess with the numbers, and you kind of broke my heart a little bit because if I would have started 5 years earlier, that was almost $200 less per month I would have had to save, and primarily that's because of compounding interest and, you know, the 2 years of extra accumulation. But that was huge. And if I wait another 5 years to start, then it really starts to get nasty because what do you call that, reverse dollar cost averaging?
Yeah, using taking money out of management style that has the money moving up and down, you know, just the stock market, it moves. So that can cause, if you don't have stability there or the right mix to guarantee income or generate stable income, it is reverse dollar cost averaging. Because it'd make for a quicker spend down if you're not careful.
And I like breaking it back down because when you ask how much do I need to save, that is some impossible goal that doesn't tell you how to get there. And you come all the way back to how much do you need to start saving per month to do it. That's something you can start immediately. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. James Parker here. Hey, do me a favor. Grab your phone real quick. Go download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You can connect with the show. You can call the show or send us a text message. You can connect with the office. You can find our next Gregory Ricks Live event. You can set an appointment. You can listen to our podcast, the previous shows. And if you're a client with Gregory Ricks, you can pop up your financial dashboard and see how all your accounts are doing in real time. Plus, there's no pictures of me. The Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Go ahead and download it right now because eventually you're going to need it. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
If you're not at your old job, your 401k shouldn't be either. I don't want it to become forgotten money. My guidance would be is if you're going to take and roll that over and you're going to correlate it to risk, I think you should work with somebody loss adverse, meaning that they would rather get you to cash than writing down losses.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WR.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo.
That's where Greg's genius comes in, is just knowing to put professionals all in an environment to give the listeners of this show and knowing that they have a platform and they can get questions.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
It's like conversation I had the other day regarding a reverse mortgage. And she asked me, she said, okay, what is it that's going to go bad? I said, well, let me ask you this. This current mortgage you have, if you quit making payments on it, Isn't that one you got to be careful with too? She said, oh yeah. I said, what would happen if you quit making payments? She said, at some point they're going to make me move. And that's exactly right. You have a reverse mortgage. Both of you are on the reverse mortgage. What's the worst thing that could happen? You don't leave any equity to your kids, but you do have to pay your taxes and your insurance along the way. That could cause you a problem.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Big enough to deliver, small enough to care. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Talking about your troubles, it's a crying sin. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel spin. You got no money and you got no home.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. Live Financial Talk Radio. If you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, or maybe you know what to do but need a second opinion, we get a lot of those. Are you confident in your present advisor enough to go get a second opinion or call in and ask a question? Could it be questioning those A-share mutual funds that, I don't know, I've got a bank thought there where we had sent somebody to a bank to kind of put their savings there, and then they're trying to sell them a second mortgage, which is probably not healthy for them, or just like a variable annuity. You know, there's a story I'll share later about a individual that got a variable annuity through a bank, and gosh, it just wasn't suitable. It wasn't correlated to their savings. Sometimes you need to ask these questions and run it by somebody else. And that's why we do Live Financial Talk Radio weeknights at 7 and Saturdays today from 10 to 1. It's simple. It's phone number 504-260-0995. If you'd rather email and have me mention it on there, the email is gregory@gregoryricks.com. The website has a site chat as well. And one of our most popular things we utilize and is used is downloading the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Just go to your app store and do a search for it. It's easy. Once again, the phone number for live call-in is 504-260-0995.
When we're talking about how to develop your own retirement philosophy, and we're talking about goals, one of the things that we've noticed when people call in that throws them off of their goal is their unrealistic expectations on return. And so many people just expect, 7% a year. They sound like these pension funds. In fact, when you break down these pension crises, it's almost identical to the same mistakes we see being made on the personal and retail level. People are contributing too little to the pensions in the municipal level, but personally, people are contributing too little to their retirement savings, and then they're expecting too much in returns. They're assuming, really, too much in returns. They're like, yeah, so we just put in this much, and we get a 7 or 8% return every year, and here in 20 years, this will be our number. But when 20 years comes by, that's not going to be your number, because especially in this environment, that is an unrealistic expectation, 7%. Not, it didn't used to be unrealistic, but we're in a different world the last, I don't know, decade or so. What do you think is a more realistic expectation? Is it still the 4% rule? Is it really the 3.5% rule if you want to count
well,
in inflation?
Well, that's for streaming income. And you have to look at how your portfolio mix is. You know, what are you doing with the Wall Street money? What are you doing with the no-risk money? What type of income riders are maybe attached to some of those financial tools that you're using, and what is that income that can be kicked out from it? So it's a matter of timing there as well. But I think 7 is a bit high. I've got clients that have income riders that are rolling up at 7%, but you're not seeing those today in this environment. Low interest rate and combined with longevity, you're just not seeing that. Maybe we get back to that when we get 10-year treasuries above 3%, and I kind of could see, excuse me, we have another discussion a little bit later regarding interest rates and the hikes and where treasuries are and to see how, if that's out of whack or not. We'll talk about that. But I'm more so of thinking, you know, what are return ranges? Probably 2 to 6%. Some of that could be guaranteed. Some of it is just thinking of it as a reasonable expectation. If I had to narrow it down, I'd probably be more likely to use 3 to 5 and not even use the 6. Why? I would be happy if you ended up earning more and had more money. But what you don't want to have is a 6, 7, or 8% expectation, and then you come up short. That's the real problem, is the coming up short when you have those goals and expectations.
Yeah, especially when you get it started in those first few years, happen to be on the downslope of a market. And so if you start off behind your numbers in the first couple of years, it takes you a while to make that up. And that's vastly different than if you start when the stock market skyrocketing and you get unreasonably high returns or unexpectedly high returns the first few years. Definitely changes the math. And when people look at the stock market, they're like, yeah, look, it got like 10% last year. It got 10% the year before. I'm like, yes, but we got to talk average here. We're talking over a span of 20, 30 years. You got to start averaging in the negative years. What is when the stock market
loses? Yeah, and that's why I would use a lower return. I'm going to look up something here. Let's see.
And the reason I bring it up, why when people are expecting 7% instead of 4%, and you said, well, that's income stream. That's what they think. They think they get this pile of money, and whatever money that money makes, that's what they get to spend for the year, and then they don't have to worry about a spend down. But that's a mess, because on the years when the market's going down or you don't get much of a return, are you going to really be spending significantly less, or you got to average this stuff out?
I just don't have access to quick numbers on that. Let's see, what is
you talking about, like the average return of the S&P?
Yeah.
The historic average since its inception in 1928 is 10%, but that's not going to even begin to apply to the last 15, 20 years, is it?
Yeah, and that's a scary number. When people talk about that, what is the, let's see, 28. Is trying to say, okay, I'm going to average 10%, but what you really have to probably do is look at it by decade, not just the whole deal there. And the market's a lot different the past 30 years than it was the previous entire period of the stock market as well, because there's a lot more volatility. The buy and hold really makes it look good. And it's a matter of timing of when you're drawing money out and how it is affected by corrections, or, for example, the Great Recession, or the tech downturn, or the downturn in 2001-2002. So when you're counting, say it averaged 10%, is that a fair way to look at it? I think it's a scary way to look at it, because you're not taking in consideration downturns and how they may affect you by decade, for example. And that's why I would rather use a number, because I'll also point out, if we're using 5% number expectation on a 401k, is you're not planning on downturns. So that's all positive year returns that you're affecting. And there could be some zeros in there and negatives in there. So what we've got to come up with a number that's reasonable for us to get to where we're going and not overshoot or miss. I mean, overshoot, I'm talking about missing that number to the low side on assets.
So when we talk about returns and you talk about reasonable expectations, how do you factor in inflation in that? And how do you kind of calculate in the idea that interest rates should be going up at some point, and that may make returns a little more solid? How do you factor in that unknown? What's going to change in 5 and 10 years when you're doing these long-term plans for your philosophy? Interest rates go up another couple percent. Those 10-year treasuries start to look a little more inviting. That's going to help out.
It really will, because cash can make some money, because you're always going to be holding some amount of cash for whatever reason. It's just because the market's gotten ugly, or you're not wanting to be 100% risk correlated, or you may have a portion risk correlated. You might have a portion tied to financial tools that don't allow the money to go down in value. It can only go up. It could be correlated to market gains and or interest rate. But you have to factor in inflation. And typically we're going to look at, let's see if I have, typically I like to look at 3.5% inflation expectation. So when we're building, and I'm tying it more to income because we're growing assets, obviously, at a higher return expectation on that. Now, when we go back to the exploring to figure out what your goals are and how much money you're going to need, you know, that is part of that is to figure out the purpose of the money, the jobs it should be doing, or blocks of money doing what job for what period of time. And therefore, you can correlate inflation to that as you assign it to the right financial strategy or tool. And then income, when we turn on income, we're going to show it increasing every few years correlated to inflation.
All right, coming up next, I'm going to ask you, all right, when's the stock market going to crash? Because I know between now and when I retire in 30 years, we're going to have at least one or two crashes. Something's going to happen. I want to ask you how you weave that into the philosophy. Questions, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
I have about $500,000 in cash. I want it to be a very unrisk type of investment.
And this is the way I look at all money. We work hard to get it, whether it's $500,000, $200,000, or $800,000. It's all really important money. But I do have clients that come in, and they're just like Ray is. I'd like to get this money to work, but I do not want to lose a penny. And there are financial tools and strategies to do that, depending on the length of time that you have to put this money to work. One of the ways I like to break it down is I'll say that $500,000 isn't going to do all the same job. It could be a number of things, and that's how we want to assign it.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
You're looking to expand your family, aren't you? Might be a little extra hair around the house, some vet bills, a little extra noise, but it's totally worth it. Do the right thing. Don't buy. Adopt. From Baton Rouge to New Orleans to Biloxi, Kismet Pet Adoptions will help you expand your family. KismetPetAdoptions.com. KISMET PetAdoptions.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
If you in any form or fashion are thinking about buying an annuity, whether it's a fixed or variable, you need to get a second opinion. And that's why you should give my office a call.
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
How does divorce affect your Social Security payments?
It's a traditional IRA. My mother died, and she named my brother and I as beneficiaries.
Can I still contribute to a Roth IRA now that I'm retired?
I was just wondering if we should pay our mortgage off.
And I really enjoy y'all's program. It's very informative.
You made some money for me today.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRN. Know. The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
Your daily dose of financial wisdom. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. Also, remember, you can catch us via the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, but it's more than just that. You can listen to podcasts from previous shows. You can contact the office. You can RSVP for our next Gregory Ricks Live event. That's coming up Wednesday, April 19th, but that's for ladies only. This is a Women Winning at Live special here. Women only, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. Again, that's a Wednesday, April 19th. You can RSVP for that with your thumb on the app. The next event that men were going to allow you to go to is coming up in June, so go ahead and get that on your mind. Love me some Gregory Ricks & Associates app, though. Still waiting for Radio Shack to get their app, but you would think conventional wisdom would tell you that they probably would have beat Gregory Ricks & Associates. They should have beat Gregory Ricks & Associates to the app game, but they didn't. And I found another instance of conventional wisdom getting blown out the water. We talked about this before. Margarine versus butter. And in the late 70s and throughout the 80s, they were telling you, you got to stop using butter. It's killing you. We got this better thing. It's called margarine. All it is we just squeeze some oil out of vegetables and then we fluff some hydrogen in it. And of course it's better. It's not full of fat and sugars and animal squeeze. No, this is from vegetables. So it's basically like eating a vegetable and a little bit of hydrogen. No big deal. Fast forward 30 years. Now they're calling that margarine stuff trans fats, partially hydrogenated vegetable oil. Sounds a lot more ominous than margarine. But when you go back, not only are they negative on margarine now, they're getting very positive on butter. New studies are showing, butter has vitamins and nutrients in it that margarine doesn't have. Vitamin A, D, E, K, B12. Margarine's actually worse for you. If you look at some other studies, they show people who eat more butter, people eating dairy products, have no link to obesity. Those products actually don't increase the metabolic diseases, but do in fact slightly reduce the risk of becoming obese. And of course, number five on the list of why butter is better than margarine, it tastes better. But that was conventional wisdom that butter's great, and then conventional wisdom was margarine's better. Now conventional wisdom's back that butter's great, and now margarine needs to go away.
Was it margarine created because of the military? Because butter was spoiled, margarine.
It does have a longer shelf life, and since it's solid at room temperatures, it lasts a whole lot longer. I don't know if it was developed for military purposes, but that sounds completely plausible.
Well, we've not kept margarine in the house for several years now, but I've always get this one pushback. Well, butter's bad for you. In what way? Okay. Don't eat too much of it. Don't get a spoonful. It's not intended for that. But margarine, it's kind of weird. Let me see. If I'm going to grill me a steak, heat the plate up, pour margarine over it, that actually doesn't go too well. But when you pour butter over it, it's like magic happens.
I like both.
We don't have it in the house and haven't for several years.
What's country crock? Is that margarine?
Margarine.
Oh, okay, well, I eat that.
I can't believe it's butter is margarine. You know what? It's butter. When it says butter on the label, that you're buying butter.
Well, it'll you need to evaluate this.
I think it's Land O'Lakes or something like that.
Land O'Lakes is a butter.
I buy butter. You see, I know butter.
With
I buy
cute
butter.
Little Indian girl on it.
Yeah, you can buy salted or unsalted. I typically buy the salted.
Well, look, if you ever turn on the radio and you hear me say something bad about Country Crock, assume I've been kidnapped and replaced with an android. Because I won't. I won't. I don't care how many people margarine kills. I'm not saying anything bad about that.
Hey, but speaking of apps, can I shift to that? You know, you're talking about Radio Shack not having an app. I did, you know, another company that's going to be leaving the landscape at some point, it's sure showing signs of leaving, is Sears. They have an app.
Oh, thank goodness. Too late, fellas.
Yeah, just thinking back, gosh, they should have been the Amazon with the catalog. You had the catalog, and one of the things is, I don't know, what were they thinking? It's just, we're only going to handle stuff that we carry in inventory in the stores. Well, they used to carry a lot of stuff that wasn't in their stores. It would be by order only.
Like a house?
Yeah, like a house. Just a number of things.
Can you imagine going into Sears? Let's see, there's the tools, there's the appliances. Where's the houses? Where's the housing section? That'd have to be a pretty big room.
Yeah, and they were doing that after World War II, selling houses through their catalogs. Very interesting. But, you know, when you think of Amazon, I don't know. It's like if you pretty much want it, they have it.
It is catalog shopping. Yeah, when you said that earlier this week, I'm like, you're right, this is the same thing. It's the same process. You just browse through their inventory, you pick something out, it gets shipped to you.
Yeah, they ended their catalog, I think it was in 1992, at the time that the World Wide Web was taking off.
Worst timing ever.
Yeah, and they were in the position to dominate it, really. Walmart wasn't all that. Yeah, Walmart had spread, but not to where it is today. And Walmart actually missed the boat on it. That, you know, that giant has kind of wakened up, and, you know, Christmas holiday revenues, I think they beat Amazon.
Their growth was higher than Amazon, yes.
So it's just interesting take when you have Sears from a historical standpoint, so many great decisions on marketing and growth throughout their history, and even the land acquisition that was going on after World War II that led to the malls. And then cutting the catalog, I think, was the beginning of the end coming. Even though it was back in 92, but you see the effects of how everything's evolved. And where do so many people shop? What's going on in the retail world? What's happening with malls?
They're going away. People are shopping on their phone now, on tablets, on their computer.
Yeah, so they're catalog shopping online. They don't want to go to the stores. Hey, if I can get it and they just put it on my doorstep, I'm good.
So, yeah, and I go look at the World Wide Web. It was invented in 1989, released to the outside world in 1991. And Sears, instead of transferring that catalog concept onto this new World Wide Web, just cut it off. And you can't get that back, because in 1991, 1992, 1993, if people thought, hey, I want to order something and just have it shipped to me, Sears would have been, if not number one, in the top five. You know, sources you would go for shopping like that. And that kind of reminds me, just, you know.
But all through their history, they've shown vision, looking forward on everything they've done in their history. And it goes to the founder of that. But it's just like what's going to become the malls. They had that vision. What happened to the vision here of, can this evolve into something online that we can dominate?
Well, there goes the conventional wisdom thing, because conventional wisdom tells you rich get richer, poor get poor, and if you have all this money and opportunity, of course you're going to be successful. No, look, Sears was successful because they, over a series of generations, continued to make the right decisions, and the second they stopped making the right decisions, it was the decline, and now they're about gone. So the rich get richer only if they continue doing the exact same things and being the exact same brilliance that got them rich in the first place. That is not a guarantee that if you're born into a position of privilege, or if you're a company that has a record of history that's been stellar and you have a giant pile of cash and name recognition and stores everywhere, there's no guarantee that you're going to stay on top. And that's what's so amazing about the companies that do, the Walmarts of the world.
One of the companies that they started has a market capitalization of $29.5 billion, and that's Allstate Insurance. And what is Sears' market cap?
Didn't you say it was $800 million?
Yeah, about $890 million is a close number to its market. It's less than $1 billion.
And that was on Wednesday's show.
And shrinking. But let's see. Sears holding is closed Friday at $8.50 a share. And they lost $2.2 billion on $20 billion in sales. They lost a couple billion dollars. That's a tough bleed every year. That's why they're just selling off chunk, like Craftsman Tools sold for $900 million. But that didn't keep them going, but what, 6 months?
Yeah, that paid about 5 months of bills. That's bye, Sears. Nice knowing you.
Yeah.
Going out the door. Poor fellas. Almost feel sorry for them.
But they do have an app. This still confounds me, Radio Shack. Another one of those that should have dominated online. The go-to gadget store. What would be better is having to go find the Radio Shack or go down there. Darn, I'll have it in 3 days. I'm good.
Blockbuster did the same thing. They let some other company take the next generation of their previous dominated industry. So bizarre. 504-260-0995. If you have a financial situation, I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks & Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Look, you're out there thinking about, oh, this market, I've got to find some safe ways. Avoid the variable for that reason, because it is not a risk-averse tool. But if you're considering it, I suggest you get a second opinion. And we darn sure wouldn't have had a long surrender period.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
What do I cherish? Precious moments. Watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Fortunately, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. A cure is in sight.
Gregory Ricks & Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our CPA, Jude Heath.
Well, tax season is what it is. Some folks come in and the tax year is already planned. On a going forward basis, there was some legislation that was put in that some of it can affect some of the listeners.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
And here's one of the simple explanations to consider doing a subchapter S. Okay, they're in a situation where it's all being passed to them, then it's going on the Schedule C, and you're paying the Social Security tax, and let's say you're ending up with $80,000 in income. Well, do a subchapter S entity, pay yourself a salary, you're being taxed on $50,000 if that reasonably pays your bills and supports your standard of living. And the other 30 is a K-1 distribution that passes along to you, and all you're doing is paying the income tax on that. You're not paying the payroll and Social Security taxes and such. That's one of the core considerations of doing a subchapter S.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. We've been doing this almost 7 years now. God, that's crazy. Imagine that. But when I agreed and signed on back then, when they said, hey, we'd like you to do a live financial show, I remember turning it down to begin with. Then they talked.
Then you met this Mike James Scott, Parker guy, and you're James like, I got to work with him.
Yeah. I remember meeting Mike Scott. I think he's out of Miami, and they got me on a conference call and basically talked me into coming down here and meeting everybody and experiencing the studio and stuff. And then, you know, next thing you know, I'm agreeing to do the show. And then they put us two together to do the show. And then we did lunch every Wednesday for a year in developing our friendship. And it turned into a show that's going for 7 years. On Saturday, we do this from 10 to 1, live talk radio. And a little over a year ago, we started the weeknight show that's at 7. Once again, live financial talk radio. Something about in our storyline, we always talk about oil, and we followed that for a long time. And it just caught my attention today. Now, I'm flipping through here, and where is that? I know I read it this morning. Okay, I must have grabbed the wrong paper here. I'll get back. It's the rig counts were up 20, but I want to give you some other numbers tied to that. Oh, here, it's right here.
Rig counts were up 20 this week alone?
Yeah, Louisiana dropped 2.
Oh, no, come on now.
Yeah, here it is. U.S. rig count up 20. The number of rigs exploring for oil and natural gas in the U.S. increased by 20 this week to 809. Louisiana dropped 2 rigs to go down to 53. A year ago, there was 464 rigs in service. And the rig count bottomed out last May at 404. We have oil just kind of had moved down under 50. We've seen it trade in a range of 47 to 48. But just kind of when you look at the numbers of that, 464 essentially a year ago. Let's see. Baker Hughes said Friday that 652 rigs sought oil and 155 explored for natural gas this week. 2 were listed as miscellaneous. Texas increased by 8, Oklahoma by 7, New Mexico by 3, Alaska, California, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia 1 each, and Wyoming dropped a rig.
You know what that is? That's us picking up market share.
Yeah. And that's affecting oil. More production, more surplus, lower prices.
Eat it, OPEC. You're just going to have to eat it. Now, I don't like the sound of the rigs dropping around here. What's going on with that? Do we need one of these awesome shale plays like Permian or the Bakken or something to that effect? Because didn't we have the Haynesville doing pretty good up in the sort of Shreveport, East Texas area?
Well, kind of an ebb and flow, but, you know, what, Texas, Oklahoma? Yeah, that's some nice bump-ups there in the count.
Well, good luck, oil guys.
I just thought it was really interesting looking back at, 10, 11 months ago, and it was at 404. So,
hey, so I just want to run this by you. There's nothing specific here. I just want to get an overview from you. earnings season, first quarter is almost over. And I saw a couple of write-ups, and they didn't get into specifics, but they were saying earnings season was bad. And earnings season in Q1, you know, it has its own little pattern. Not only was it behind that, but it was unexpectedly behind the normal what we get from quarter one. But I didn't really get that feeling. I kind of felt like some of these earnings reports were, a lot of them were rebounds, a lot of them were good news. But is that the overview you got, Gregory? I know it's not fair to try and take a snapshot on all the earnings reports, but did you get a sense that it was bad? Corporate profits are bad, earnings are bad?
It's not where they should be, if that's what you're asking. Was your sense they were bad?
No. Techs were doing great. Healthcare sectors were doing great. You know, retail's having a tough time. Oil's having a tough time. We're just somewhat energy all around. That's having a tough time. But that turns around, and that's good for a lot of other people. You know, the low cost of energy, that's good for airlines. That's good for the FedEx, the delivery services. That's good for industrials. That's good for a lot of things. And aside from a couple little, stains.
I just think more of the problem's been on the retailing side is where you've seen it. Banks
huge
have
there.
Taken it on the chin as well. You know, looking at Friday, Finish Line stock plunged after profit falls well short of expectation. Once again, retailer. Sportsman Warehouse down 8% after earnings miss. GameStop down 9%. Micron shares jumped. Tech's doing fine. Ford stock drops after profit outlook was below expectation. Different kind of retail. ConAgra has a miss. You know, it just didn't seem there's been more stuff in the news in front of earnings. So it's kind of earnings have taken a back seat. So maybe it didn't seem as bad to you, but, you know, just running through the past couple of days. Now, Calvin Klein, parent PVH, soar after earnings. Sweet for them. They jumped nearly 8%.
I bought one of their shirts in the
Wednesday.
First quarter. That probably had a little to do with it.
That made the difference. You got out there. You went to a store, or you did it online?
Macy's was closing. So in a retail failure, right? I walked right into one of the declining retail sectors.
And let's see. Five Below shares rally on earnings beat. Nike, biggest ever price drop.
Okay. The retail is just pulling it down. Because here's the sense I get. There is a little bit of malaise out there, and the market is less exuberant than it was for the first 2 months of 2017. But I don't get the feeling. And again, I don't like to use the term feeling on the show very much, because this is supposed to be math, numbers, and sense.
Get this. Winnebago profit and sales rise above expectation. What demographic is probably helping them?
Retirees.
I have a lot of people that like the idea of doing that. I have a lot of people that come in and say, well, yeah, we're thinking about getting a motorhome. We want to do, you know, drive and travel around the country. And even had a client telling me a story about some of the, they've put some miles
on their
retirement equipment. But
retirement equipment? Is that what it is, Winnebago? Sounds about right.
It can be, you know, pulling a travel trailer, having a camper. There's a number of ways to get it done. It's just interesting to do that drive. I don't know.
It seems like such a bad idea to me, but when you talk to people that do it, they love it. So I'm going to reserve final judgment, but it just seems like a bad idea. I'm driving around this giant thing. I can't go through a Taco Bell drive-thru. I can't park in any normal lot. I've got to clean out the toilet every other day from, you know, all of my family's waste. That's not something I'm looking forward to. Horrible gas mileage, wildly expensive. Can't we just get like a van, like a Scooby-Doo van, and I'll tote the family around
in
that?
I was thinking about this, and it sounded pretty cool when they were talking about the travels and stuff. And to see that one time you're driving, gosh, what is it? What's out west? One of the national parks, Yellowstone.
Grand Canyon.
Okay, that's a great one. We're going to drive out there. One thing cool about it is if it's your first time to take this path, you're seeing all this, and wow, and some neat things. Well, let's do that again next year. Would it be the same doing it again? When you drive home to Tyler, What, that's a 7-hour hike?
Seven
like
glorious
that.
Hours, yes.
Yeah.
Mostly trees.
Mostly trees, and you've seen them a bunch of times. So any excitement there, like, wow, that tree is looking really good. I know, you would, to me, I'd always have to be changing it up, but gosh,
it's pretty
a
bad.
Lot of time in the seat to get somewhere, especially if it's repeated.
It must be a lot cooler than it sounds because people love it. But here's,
yeah.
here's
so
what
I'm not raining on it, but we have a lot of people wanting to do that and do that.
Well, my theory on why we're feeling a malaise here is not so much a reaction to the earnings or what's going on in the economy. It's sort of a pullback from the exuberance that was expected with this new president. Remember, January was kicking it. February was doing well. And what were they expecting? Well, we got a businessman in the White House. We're expecting he's going to cut taxes. We're expecting he's going to lower that corporate tax. He's going to lighten some regulations. In fact, he already was doing that. But when you see, basically, you knew this healthcare thing was going to die on the vine. This tax reform bill is getting postponed. Now we're starting to realize this guy might not get all these promises done. And, you know, when you're hiring someone or expanding your business based on the hopes that a lot of these taxes and regulations are going to be pulled back, you wait 3 months and they're not really going at the pace you'd hope for. I think that's where the pullback's coming from. It's like, well, this guy has the right idea. He's talking the right policies here, but I don't know if he can actually get them through. And I think that might be the reason people are pausing.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that some more today as well.
Good deal. All right, coming up in the next hour, Dwayne Stein, host of Mortgage Gumbo, and the lending authority of the Total Wealth Authority is going to be with us. Coming up in the noon hour, Robert from Past Christian had a great story about his mother-in-law's irrevocable trust. More financial news. Your questions, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome. This is Hour 2 of Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. You're listening to Live Financial Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Still coming up on the show, we're going to talk a little bit about America's fastest growing cities. Not that we care about civil engineering, but it's all based on two things: economics and taxes. How's the local economy doing? And what do the local taxes look like? Also, the pension crises that are going on around the country reflect more on personal investing mistakes than they do the government. And what are the mistakes? You need to save more and expect less in returns. Coming up in the next segment, Dwayne Stein, member of the Total Wealth Authority, is going to be joining us to talk a little bit about the lending world, what's going on. And I think really the message that he wants to get through to you today is that if you're waiting for these rates to go back below 4% so you can jump in and score, that ship has probably already sailed, and you want to go ahead and sign up before they keep going up. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. Before we talk to Dwayne, though, I want to run a statistic by you that blew my mind earlier this week. Gregory, how much does the government actually spend? And usually when you hear that question, the answer, if you ask me that question, I would answer about $3 trillion, $4 trillion, somewhere around there. But I'm just thinking federal government. If you take the feds, add up what all the states spend, add up what all the counties spend, and then add up what all the municipalities, the cities and towns spend, how much money is spent by the government every year in the United States, or last year in the United States, I should say?
Probably neighborhood of 8 to 9. Now, this is a big spread when I do this, $8 to $9 trillion.
That's a great guess. It's a little over $7 trillion. GDP last year, about $20 trillion. Actually, 19 is some change, if I'm not mistaken. So more,
well, that was a big miss because we're speaking of trillion, you know, $1,000 billion.
That's
so,
a 12% miss.
Way off.
That's a 12% miss. That's pretty good. The crazy part is, though, that means more than one out of every $3 created in productivity was consumed, and people like to say, by the public sector or government. No. I like to say it right, by politicians. Politicians skimmed one out of every $3 made last year. And I guess they're going to come back and constantly tell you, well, that's not enough, or we got to raise taxes, or we can't afford to cut taxes, or things are going to suffer. It's like, well, dude, if you can't live, if you can't operate properly off of $7 trillion, what's another $1 trillion going to do for you?
Yeah, it's time for government to get reshaped. But I don't know if we have anybody to do that. Nobody ever really wants to do that. Where are you headed with this? Is this heading into what happened yesterday?
That's not really. It's just, look at you. I like that. I like that headline right there. GOP leaders pull health care bill.
Yeah, they ultimately couldn't come up with a vote, so.
Fine by me.
It's dead for a while.
But this was an economics bill. I know they have to call it the health care bill because this was about the economics of health care, but this is just like the original Obamacare bill. This doesn't hire or fire one doctor. This doesn't control how anyone gets actually operated on or what procedures are done on them as much as it controls who's going to pay for it and where does the money come from. This is all about controlling the flow of resources into healthcare. This is an economics bill. This is a finance bill. And I wasn't a big fan of it. I'm okay that it passed. However, I think the bigger negative consequences of this bill failing is the confidence and the optimism that people had for the first 2 months of this year, really first 3 months of the Trump presidency. They have a reason to pull back that optimism because, hey, maybe if he does have great policies, but if he can't get things passed, that doesn't do us any good in the business world. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it gives us concerns. Look, that was a big monster to tackle, and maybe it needed to be given more time and might not should have been tackled first, or this is just part of that process. Yeah, I'd like to have gotten it done, but there's lots of divisions. It's not just Democrat and Republican. You know, each side drew their line and not going to get it done. No, there was factions of the GOP that broke apart and weren't going to sign on it anyhow. So he kind of needed everybody to come together, both parties, to get it done, and wasn't going to get that on the Dem side and couldn't get all the Republicans together as well. So obviously there's work to do. The thing is, it just still kind of felt and seemed a lot like the Affordable Health Care Act, the Obamacare. And there's still a lot of subsidies in that. It's just obviously more work to be done. Here's the question. Can it get done this year?
If it didn't get done now, probably not.
If it went party lines, I know when it could get done after the next cycle of elections. But he had the GOP was divided as well, could never pull together the vote. So the next thing is tax reform. Moving on, the president kind of said, hey, we need to vote on this thing, see where we're at. We have to move on. They obviously can keep working on it. Now, you mentioned something about that being delayed. I've not seen or heard that.
Tax reform may have to be delayed because it's going to be very difficult to reform taxes without the health care reform first, because it is an economics bill. There are so many taxes in there. There's so much spending in there. There's so many sources of income for the feds, revenue sources, what they call it.
Well, might have been really the reason they tackled that first then, and it's got to continue to be worked on. I can't call it dead. Well, we're shoving it into the corner. It's going to collect dust. We'll get back to it one day. With that said, it was pulled. You know what they do? Regroup and keep working on it. Didn't meet the deadline, but, you know, is that Congress can't work on anything else, no other bills or anything?
No, they can't walk and chew gum. No, that's awfully accurate.
Sad.
But I think Trump's kind of right when he says, look, this is our one shot. If we don't do it now, we're not going to be able to revisit this for a while, primarily because the other stuff they have to work on is so intertwined in this, because what's the next issue they got to deal with? The debt ceiling, and then the budget, and then tax reform, and all three of those can't be wrapped up with health care reform, because it will drastically change what those three reforms look like. So if we are going to go to tax reform and budget reform and debt ceiling, we're not going to have to find out what we're going to do with those before we find out what we can do with Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act. Wait. What are the Republicans calling it? Affordable Health Care Act, right? Or an American Health Care. Whatever it is. It's dead anyway. Why name it? Why do we even need to know its name? It's a dead person. So, yeah, I think you do have to tackle these, and you can't do them at the same time. And so I don't think they're going to get back to it, at least this year. But if I were them, I wouldn't touch it until after the midterm election. I would say let the voters decide on who they're going to vote for, basically based on their support of this. That would be very interesting.
It would. But why can't they continue working on it?
I mean, define working on it. Everybody knows what they want. Working on it in congressional terms means what can we put in here that would buy off the votes? Let's not have them work on that until they figure out what's going on with this. Because why are you going to try and buy off all these votes when you may not need to buy them off after the fact? The other landscape could change, because if some other taxes go down, then you're not going to insist on the tax reform that's in the healthcare proposal now. I mean, these are all just theories. But
well, as more people become unhappy with it, if that indeed is going to be the case, time will tell now. It's just interesting.
Look, here's what I'm talking about. They did some reforms on the bills when they put it up for the amendment process. Look, the original release was on March 13th of what they wanted to vote on, and it got scored. They rescored it on Thursday with the changes, the few changes that it had been in it in the last week, and the score got worse. The deficit went higher. The revenues got lower. The people that got kicked off healthcare got worse. So it seems like the more they work on it, the worse it gets. So let's just table this thing and fix some other stuff. Maybe we'll have to come back to that.
A lot of work to do still. Now, how will this affect the markets?
That if you're a medium-sized business and you're thinking about opening in that new Big Cheesy franchise, you may hold off because you were thinking, well, if my corporate tax rate can get a little bit lower, I will save X amount of dollars and I will be able to leverage that into a new franchise. Maybe I can expect that lower tax bill and I'll hold off on that new franchise. And that little micro decision is going to be made thousands and thousands of times. And I think that early exuberance we had for December, January, and February is going to go back to what we're feeling like in September and October. That's my theory.
Probably going to have the market down on Monday. It sure didn't like it at the end of the day yesterday. When you kind of look at it, it was positive through better than half of the day, and then started moving down, kind of bottomed in the beginning of the last half hour, then worked its way up, and then right at the end sold off again. So it was a mixed bag as far as yesterday went. The Dow gave up 59 points, off 0.29%, closed at 20,596.72. The S&P was minus 0.08%, closed at 2,343.98. NASDAQ closed at 5,828.74. It was up 0.19%. We'll jump over. You have any of the other numbers? I haven't pulled them up.
For the week or just for the day of Friday?
Just for the day.
Yeah. NASDAQ, is that what you're looking for? NASDAQ was up 0.2%. S&P was up 0.1%.
Well, I just gave all those. You got the Russell.
I do not have the Russell. My monitor went out over here, and it's not on my short sheet.
I know. I'm grabbing it here to take just a moment. But everybody, it became positive because they were going to do the vote. It came down. You know, Trump said, look, let's have this vote. Let's get this thing done. Now, you know, I had predicted a couple weeks ago at Politics with a Punch, I said, it's probably going to pass the House, but not going to get through the Senate. Well, I was wrong. Didn't even get to the Senate to be pushed. But I don't think the thing's going to pass. And that's what happened. It didn't. For right now, who knows what can happen over the weekend.
That would have given some breaks for those companies that hire more than 50 people. Some of the mandates and costs would have been stripped from those poor guys. But
Russell was basically flat yesterday. 10-year treasuries closed at two with a yield of 2.413%. I'll give you gold and oil when we come back.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. James Parker here. Hey, do me a favor. Grab your phone real quick. Go download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You can connect with the show. You can call the show or send us a text message. You can connect with the office. You can find our next Gregory Ricks Live event. You can set an appointment. You can listen to our podcast, the previous shows. And if you're a client with Gregory Ricks, you can pop up your financial dashboard and see how all your accounts are doing in real time. Plus, there's no pictures of me. The Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Go ahead and download it right now, because eventually you're going to need it. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hi, James. Hi, Mr. Ricks. I love your show every day. I have a question on IRA.
Hi, I want to state first, I'm a big fan of your show. There's a ton of knowledge you guys give out, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I listen to you guys as often as I can, and thank you very much for your advice, Gregory, okay. And I'll be calling your office. Thank you so much.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5, WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Stephanie from Dwell Nola Realty.
Yeah, well, real estate's a real personal thing to people. Everybody's pretty much involved in it one way or another. You know, a lot of times it's people that have investment properties that get additional income from the rentals.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, GregoryRicks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
We're a very busy firm. It's kind of like going to a restaurant. What do you want to be, the only one dining in there for lunch? 20 tables and you and a couple other people are in there? Nah, I don't want to do that. I want it to be busy because I know the food's good and I'm getting high quality. And that's one thing about our firm is, you know, we're busy. We have appointments all day long, every day, multiple advisors. If you want more information about our services and fees, we have form ADV, and you can go to GregoryRicks.com. Bottom of every page, there is a link for that. Or call the office, 504-832-9200.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5, WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
You won't learn this anywhere else. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. If you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, the phone number is 504-260-0995. Yes, that's right. Live Financial Talk Radio. You can interact with the show. We're going to be here till 1 o'clock. We are going to have Dwayne Stein, host of Mortgage Gumbo, joining us shortly, or he's on now, so we're going to be talking to him for a little bit, covering mortgages, interest rates, and looks like interest rates have come back to help people wanting to leverage a home. So good news on that. Want to finish up the market numbers. Crude oil last trade was at $48.14 a barrel. Gold was off 0.30%, basically 0.3%. Gold closed at $1,246.40 per precious troy ounce. Let's see. And then I kind of throw the mortgage number. It looked like it went up a penny yesterday, a tick. 4.15 was the last yesterday, and a week ago it was at 4.22. So a little improvement over the week, and that probably has to do with treasuries moving down, money flowing to them.
All right, Dwayne Stein's joining us now. Welcome back to the program. Dwayne, he's the host of Mortgage Gumbo. If you're on our New Orleans affiliate, he comes on right after us at 1 o'clock. Biloxi, we're working on that for you. We'd love to have him follow us over there as well. Also, he is a member of the Total Wealth Authority. He's our go-to guy when it comes to mortgages, lending, reverse mortgages, things of that nature. And he also knows a heck of a lot about credit scores. Welcome back, Dwayne.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Hey. Good.
Hey, I want to pick up a conversation that you and I were having yesterday.
Sure.
And that is the idea that these people who were shopping for a house and you know, they've just kind of been thinking about it and looking at it for the last couple of years, they got used to seeing numbers that were below 4% on their interest rate. I mean, look at me. I bought my house almost 5 years ago. I got a 3.895%. It got even lower than that for a while. And now that it's at above 4%, you said there's some people who are waiting on it to go back down to 4% or below. And that ship may have sailed. That number may not be coming back anytime soon.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you 100% there. There's no doubt that ship has sailed. And really, because I keep people on a drip that, you know, they let me know, hey, if it gets below 4%, let me know. As far as that, let me know if we can do something once it gets at this point on a 15-year. And rates going down is probably equivalent to the new theory of the earth being flat.
Yes. Did you hear about that, Gregory Ricks? Kyrie Irving said in an interview that was interviewing him and said, I hear you think the world's flat. He goes, well, yeah, I'm not quite sure either way, but I'm just saying I don't trust what I was taught in school because I learned a lot of things that were wrong. And then so someone asked Shaq, they're like, what do you think about Kyrie Irving thinking the world's flat? He goes, well, you know, we have been taught a lot of stuff that was wrong, and a lot of pictures and video have been faked before. So I'm not going to say I 100% agree or disagree with that. And it's like, oh, my goodness, you guys actually think the world could be flat.
I thought Shaq was just saying, hey, if it's what he wants to think.
No, it went further. If you listen to the whole 4-minute clip, he was fighting back. He's like, listen, I have driven from Los Angeles to New York City. This place is flat.
So listen, when it comes to rates, the bottom line is I really think 4% is a number of the past. Gregory, I know we've talked about this, and again, I want people to understand, right now we've seen over the last week and a half, we've seen everything sort of be flat. I'm interested to see, kind of like you were talking, Gregory, in your last segment, now that this healthcare thing, everything was kind of on hold. We had big announcements, right? We had Fed went up by 0.25. Then we had the upcoming healthcare being voted on. So there was a lot of things like planes in a holding pattern. That's kind of what rates were doing over the last week and a half. I really think we're going to start to see next week some movement one way or the other. And I hate to say it, it's probably in a way that for people, if you're on the fence, you really need to get off sooner rather than later, in my opinion.
Well, Gregory and I have tried to cover the historic context around these ultra-low rates, and the reason why they ever got below 4% in the first place, it's just a mutant of a market for a minute there when you had rates that were artificially taken down to levels that they had never been to before and then held at almost zero for the better part of a decade. And then when they tick them up, they do one, maybe two ticks a year, and it's only a quarter of a point. We not only are we probably never going to get back to interest rates this low, we should never get back to interest rates this low, because that shouldn't have happened. That was a mistake. You know, I benefited from it. A few people other benefited from it. But really, having a rate at 4.2% is still great by historic standards.
I was just looking, we were talking earlier, and there was a discussion yesterday about why haven't interest rates moved up, really, because of the Feds. And I said, well, actually, they kind of have. But when you look at the end result, getting to the retail customer and making money on short-term money, no, it hasn't filtered there. But when you kind of think about it, 9 months ago, we're looking at 1.388 on 10-year treasuries, and yesterday it closed a little above 2.4.
Right.
But one of the things that I kind of know that we were stuck in a range of 1.5 for a few months there. And when you start taking, we've had three rate hikes there, so that puts us at 2.25 if you kind of use the 1.5 as a baseline. The 1.388, that was just kind of just a dip down, but 1.5 is consistent, so it puts us at 2.25, and where it tends priced at 2.4. So if we get two more rate hikes in this year, that pretty much tells us we're going to be at 2.75, and probably 10 years will be at 3%. So you're talking about a half point possibly moving up this year, Dwayne, on mortgages. Yep. Instead of that 4.15, you're going to be at what, 4.6?
Yeah, I mean, I'm clearly prepared for that. My business motto has that broken into it going into this year. One of the things for listeners, if you ever, you know, maybe if you just always, you keep up with the 10-year treasuries and you want to know how does that affect the rates, add, anytime you hear Gregory talk about a 10-year treasury, basically add 1.75, and that's pretty much within 1 or 2 basis points of what your interest rate's at. So it kind of gives you an idea, because sometimes people pay attention to one thing over the other. So what I try to do is how I can compare. So if you're a 10-year treasury, that's what the rates are always based off of. Add 1.75 to that 10-year treasury note, and that's pretty much what your 30-year conventional rate's going to be at, as far as
yeah. So let's say in the 30-year is going to be a bit higher than that. I was saying 4.6, but your math said 4.75.
Right.
Well, at the end of the year,
what's the 10-year treasury right now?
2.413.
2.41. Yeah. Okay, so I add 1.75 to that, and that puts me at 4.16.
Yeah, yep. That's right where it's at.
What's the 30-year mortgage right now, Greg?
Dwayne's math.
I mean, Dwayne?
4.15.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, a little bit of a trick of a trade there. So, but people look at different things. And I know, you know, when we're focused on 10-year treasuries, when we're dealing with winning at life and in your world, Gregory, I just kind of like to help. Here's why we were at zero for all those years. Okay? What was the one thing we had back happened to us in 2009? The world collapsed, right?
Real estate.
Yeah,
right.
Liquidity dried up. And
so, I mean, you had the one thing we do not have right now is inventory. It's obsolete. So
you talking about housing inventory?
Housing inventory. Okay. It's gone. So all those folks that had all these things, when you're looking at that, we had all these houses. They had to do something to get people. People lost their jobs. So we had to have zero rates. We had to have the Parkers getting in at cheaper than dirt interest rates, even though he couldn't get a Target card. Right.
Right.
That is, you know,
and that's not a joke. That's the truth.
Can't
people.
Get a Target card, but let's put him in a house in Lakeview. Hi, I'm your neighbor.
What could possibly go wrong? Oh, the neighbors right. Love me. They love me.
So that's why we were where we're. But now the trend is going to go in a different direction because inventory is low. Right now, in 2016, 1 million, that's 1 million homeowners went above water, which means they now have positive equity in their property. Okay, so that's a huge number when you're talking about all the repos and if you remember all the foreclosures and all those things that we used to discuss a couple years back on Winning at Life. If you remember when we were talking about all that, now all those properties have been bought up. Whether they've been bought up by corporations or whatever, they're not there anymore. So people are buying them. So that's why you've seen the rates, and the rates are only going to keep going in one direction. You may have a dip here or there, but last year at this time, you're looking at an interest rate last year on a 30-year was at 3.76 compared to our 4.15 today. I mean, so that's just 1 year. So that is 15, 25. What's that, 25 and 15? Chalmette High, 0.40, 40 basis points. That's almost a half a percent right there, and that's 1 year. So as Gregory's saying, you add a half to where we're at now, we're at that 4.65, 4.7 with another rate hike. And that's without a rate. That's with only, you know, that's two rate hikes,
yeah,
right?
What's so the forecasting?
That's right. So if we get out two more rate hikes, we're looking at another half a point minimum.
All right, this is Dwayne Stein from Mortgage Gumbo talking about lending, mortgages, housing. you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, give us a call, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
We see what's coming, and I always tell people, look, we're not going to be shocked one day and it's all gone. We're going to see it coming. We're going to have some insight of it. And look, trouble's coming. I'm going to start running ahead of the rest of you. Remember, and I'm very public, you're going to see what I think, hear what's going on, and if you see me running, don't ask. Just start running, too. And then we're going to be good because we're going to have a heads up on what's coming. This government's not perfect, but hey, where else would you want to be? You want to be over in Russia right now, living there in that mess, or Greece? You know, we're kind of handling it.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Sharing has never meant as much as it does now. Everything is up for the world to see. But what if the sharing could be used to make a difference? The National MS Society is building a place where everyone can share their experiences for good. If you have a story, share it. If you have a solution, share that too. Because together, we are stronger. Join us at wearestrongerthanms.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Folks talk about fixed indexed annuities. Great financial tool in the right place, but they do have a surrender period. What does it cost me to get in? What does it cost me to get out? And when can I exit?
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
We've got a map of callers, where they call from around the country, and it's really surprising how the audience and this show has grown. Thank you to all of you that are listening through the radio in your car or at home or on the stream through the iHeartRadio app.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office, 504-832-9200, or go to gregoryricks.com.
Your wallet's favorite show, Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. Happy Saturday. I know some people are excited to hear this show because it means it's Saturday. And usually at this time, on a regular day, you're at your desk, toiling away, not listening to awesome financial radio. But welcome to the weekend. Sorry about the bad weather. I'd fix it if I could, but I left my weather machine at home. So, Tracy, another member of the Total Wealth Authority, is on the line with us. She's one of our buddies, just like our guest Dwayne Stein this hour, who we have assembled to handle all aspects of your financial well-being. It's the Justice League of your financial world. And Tracy is one of the partners of the Dwell Nola Realty Firm. They handle our real estate expertise there, Tracy, and you'll be our guest next week. What should we talk about when you come in studio?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
We are going to talk about real estate investing as a career. Just recently, I have a couple of people who are trying to jump off their day job and start doing this full-time, and there's just so many pitfalls in doing that, so we want to try to discuss what should and should not be done when you're trying to go do this full time. Some people shouldn't quit their day jobs just right away because they have a lot of issues that they have to, overcome before they take that jump.
That'll be a good one, because I've noticed the small percentage of my friends that have actually left their career for real estate investing,
yeah,
they have a tendency to stay in it. I do have another group of friends that have left their job to go into what you do, real estate. They have a tendency to not stay in it very long.
Well, the thing is, with even going off with being an agent, you have, you know, there's things you have to take into consideration. A lot of people get realtor licenses and they just don't realize how much work it takes to actually build your business. It's not just, you don't just do this and then it's done. You know, it takes a long time to get there. So, yeah, we're going to discuss all that, and I think it's going to be something that's going to help a lot of people out there. So we'll be in next Saturday at 11.
Look forward to it. There she is, Tracy, part of the Dwell Nola Realty. DwellNola.com is their website. Can't stress it enough. Dwayne, we got a question that looks like for you and Gregory. This is James in Kentwood. You're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, other James?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. James, how you doing?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, I'm a long-distance landlord, and I'm not enjoying it. I have over 100 properties that I'm fixing to sell in another state.
Wow.
Is there anything tax-wise I can do to not take such a huge capital gains hit?
Are you planning to buy properties elsewhere?
I would like to.
So you think in the exchange?
Yeah, the 1031 exchange should be explored.
Obviously, during the foreclosure days.
I'm sorry?
I bought all these properties back in the foreclosure days for cash and rented them out this whole time. And now I don't like being, you know, 2,000 miles away from my properties.
Right.
So where are you? He's calling from Kentwood, Louisiana.
I live in Kentwood now, and my properties are in Reno, Nevada.
How did that happen, if you don't mind me asking?
Wow.
This sounds like a cool story behind it, James.
That's where I used to live.
Okay. Interesting.
And I was picking up, you know, 2,000 square foot houses anywhere from $20,000 to $35,000.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. Was this pickup after the Great Recession?
Yes, I bought them in 2008 and 2009.
Wow,
what a score, James!
You probably have a good bit of profit built into that as well on that business.
Yes, I do.
Just obviously from an owner standpoint, I guess it's just tough to deal with. You have 100 properties. It's a lot going on to be away. It's a lot of value. Yeah, you just figure you got a couple million dollars or more over there, right?
I'm into them for a little over $5 million.
Yeah, actually my math was wrong. Yeah.
Okay, so the 1031 exchange allows you to immediately, once you sell and realize the capital gains, if you turn around and reinvest that into a like property or a like investment.
Well, you're basically putting off the taxes if you take that money and put it in another piece of real estate that is like use.
Like use, that's the term I was
looking
for.
And some of that, have you looked and thought about buying some rental properties elsewhere on this and kind of staying in that business, but more local?
I'm thinking about either Slidell or say Lake Charles.
Yeah, have you talked to you obviously have a CPA. This is a pretty big deal to be doing it yourself online from a tax standpoint.
CPA I have is out of Nevada and doesn't understand all the Louisiana stuff, so I need to find one here.
Yeah, Mike would have a conversation with Jude Heath, but one of the things I would look into if you're transitioning out of that real estate into other is a 1031 exchange opportunity to where you can keep that tax deferred that you owed and continue to grow it some more. That's one of the things right there. There's probably a number of things to explore once looking into your situation, but if you're going to take the cash and cash it out, you're creating some taxable events there if you can't transition that.
Yeah,
giant taxable. You've got some very nice gains there. Using a third party realtor, leasing agent to handle all this, and
I'm using a real estate company out there. They just charged me a 10% fee, flat fee.
They're getting a pretty good fee then.
Yes, they are.
What about repairs? They get that handle for you?
Yes, they do.
Is that eating into profits too much, or
No, actually, it's not, because when I bought the properties, I refurbished them and then rented them out. They're in 99% of them are in great shape. There's a couple that aren't great, but they've paid their rent on time every month.
So what's your biggest dislike or headache? Because you've got a heck of a business there.
I'm 2,000 miles away.
Okay, that's just the bottom line. You can't. It's not easy to go put your eyes on your business.
Just drive by the houses, make sure no one burned them down, make sure no one's got a car parked in the front yard, things like that. But that would grate on me from 2,000 miles away too, James.
Hey, Dwayne, you have a thought on that?
No, I think you're spot on with the 1031 exchange is going to help him with any tax implications. I mean, really.
Would I be able to combine some properties to buy a bigger property?
Yes, absolutely you can.
Yeah.
I would definitely be interested in some commercial properties.
Especially through the 1031 exchange, you can, because everything's going to be tied up in your business. From a lender, I could tell you from just a residential side, James, you would have it's going to be difficult because it's just so many properties owned by one person. It scares the heck out of investors, straight up.
I'm not looking for finance.
Right, exactly.
I've never financed a home in my life.
That's good.
I bought my first duplex at 18 years old, rented out the one side. If I had a mortgage, would have paid it, and the rest, yep. I live for free.
That's good, man.
So your business can't peel you away from Kentwood anymore.
That's where my wife wanted to retire at, so that's where we are.
That is awesome, and you're
smart
one
man.
Of those stories.
Smart guy.
Absolutely. And his story is one of those I talk about where people get in and dabble real estate, and I kind of say you at least need to have 10 properties for it to be worthwhile. This guy has 100, so it's times 10. Serious business, but he needs to move the business.
Wow.
And 1031 exchange is going to help him relocate his business.
Is this the first you're hearing about the 1031 exchange, James?
No, it's not.
Okay.
I just didn't know enough about it to go from one state to the next.
Do we know?
I have more in California, too.
Okay.
Well, good for you,
big
James.
Big business, but jeez. Yeah, it's a transition. Obviously, you're going to do it piecemeal. You're not going to have a fire sale and throw 100 properties on the market at once, but it's a transition.
Oh, no. What's the time limit on the 1031? Do y'all know that off the top of your head, Dwayne?
I don't know all the rules, but it's something he can work with, and he needs to have a CPA that understands it. And if he's working with realtors and all, your whole team's going to need to understand the process to make sure there's no goof-ups here and you're paying taxes when you could have avoided it.
Yeah, so you need a CPA and a realtor. We got two of those. Dwayne's not real happy with you, though, James. Mr. I buy everything in cash.
Right. But, hey, we met the richest person in Kentwood. It's probably James, not Britney Spears, so that's awesome.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
Absolutely.
No doubt, man.
Probably not as cute as Britney Spears, James, but you're doing better.
He's got money, so that's all that matters. He looks great.
I'm 45 years old, and I've sent people to Dwayne's Fine for mortgages because they're being directed in the wrong direction.
There you go, man. Thank you.
That's beautiful.
How about that?
Anything else we can do for you, James?
Nope. I guess I'm going to have to make an appointment with you guys and just come see you, and we'll lay everything out on the table.
Okay. Awesome. Really appreciate the call today, and thanks for listening.
Reno to Kentwood.
Great story to have on the air.
No kidding.
And, Greg, that is exactly what you talk about, because so many people, as Tracy just discussed, she's going to talk about next week the mistakes, and I see it all the time of people who want to become James or the next Donald Trump. You can't do it with one property. I hate to say it. Your ambition could be fantastic, but James did it the right way, and kudos to him.
Yeah, when he talked about he's got a leasing company, they do the maintenance and all, and it's not hurting his profits.
Right.
And those companies are making good money, too.
Really, and 100 units. 100 units.
100 I plus, mean, yeah.
All right,
awesome.
We got Dwayne Stein in studio, our mortgage authority. We're going to talk a little about what's going on these days with ARMs and HELOCs next, because the news is advancing daily. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks & Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
First rule is avoid losing money. Rule number two is have your money making money when it should. Third is the return of your money is more important than the return on your money. So what are your exits? How do you get it out?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey, Raj. Happy birthday. How are you doing? Still feeling on top of your game?
No complaints.
Great. You've hit the big 5-0 now. Have you thought about talking with your doctor about some screening tests you need?
Screening for what?
High blood pressure, high cholesterol, colorectal cancer.
Jeez, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Hey, you have to know what's going on to stay on top of your game.
Visit ahrq.gov/consumer for a free checklist of screening tests for men 50 and older. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Gregory Ricks & Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our estate planning attorney, Wes Blanchard.
By placing all of your property in that trust, you don't necessarily own that. And so they don't need to come in and sign off on a review of your will. By setting up the trust, you avoid that entire process.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Have you set up a survivor or legacy plan? How are your assets looking long range? Do you have a plan if you move on how your assets are going to be managed? How are your assets going to move on to your beneficiaries or your spouse? Do you have a plan for that? And one of the things working with a financial advisor, if they have something like we do, the Total Wealth Authority, and we think it's something to work hand in hand with an estate planning attorney to make sure the assets are managed right and that they flow right, you may be able to get some help from a financial advisor if you do not have an estate or legacy plan.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
We keep an eye on your money and update you daily. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation or mortgage-related situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. Dwayne Stein's in studio with us. He is the host of Mortgage Gumbo. He is also the lending authority of the Total Wealth Authority. And, you know, we talked a lot about what's going on in the lending world, and don't get excited about the prospect of that new 30-year mortgage dropping back below 4%. Probably not happening unless we have some other catastrophe going down. And they try to mutate the market again. But let's talk about what's going on with ARMs and HELOCs, because right now we're looking at consequences from both of these financial tools that are the consequences are having being paid today, and it's getting ugly.
Yeah, here's my concern. I had a client, Jim, this week who was working with some folks.
Wait, did you call me Jim or your clients, Jim?
No, my client, not you, brother. You're James. Yeah, you're James. The man, King. So client Jim this week calls me, and the folks that use, and this is two clients the past 2 weeks, folks that they got a rocket that runs up and down off the TV and all that kind of stuff. And this particular client, these 2 weeks in a row, but Jim was being offered a 4.25%. So he came to me, and I was able to get him a fixed rate even lower than that. But these folks are starting to be put into these arms, and it's really for me as a lender of someone who cares about my business and more importantly cares about the future of the business, because I'm in this for the long haul. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Folks that are listening, do not, and my purpose of talking about Jim here, and luckily we got him on a fixed rate before he signed with these other guys, it's not time to go arm. It is not time to look for an adjustable rate mortgage. And right now I am seeing activity where arms are at 30-month highs, and the concern for me is, are people buying houses that they don't need to be in because of affordability, because they're putting them in these 5 and 7 year arms? Well, what do you think is going to happen to these 5 and 7 year arms? Where are rates going to be in 5 years? What do you think, Parker? I'll give you a guess.
If that's an ad, they have to be higher.
Correct. So what's going to happen is your rate that you have now, and we discussed this last week on Mortgage Gumbo, talking about what the different terms are. These arms, and when I looked at this arm, there was no cap on his rate sheet. No cap. That means it was whatever they wanted it to be when it came up, and I think it was a 7 year arm they had.
So hang on. That sounds kind of diabolical there. Yeah, you can sign on the line for this loan. Your first payment is going to be at this percent, but for the rest of the life of the loan, it's going to be whatever we decide.
Well, after it was set on like a 7 year, a 7-1. So what that means is for 7 years, it's going to be at the fixed rate.
Oh, okay.
But then after that, it adjusts. That first year. Then after that, it was adjusting every 6 months after that. However, there was no cap put in place. Usually they'll say, okay, your rate cannot get any higher than 13%. But there was no cap in there because they were giving you what's called, and this is a word that people are going to have to start listening to and understanding, because this is when lenders who don't value their clients, they start using the same words that we hear when we walk into auto dealerships. Teaser rates and different things like that. These are the rates that are being used. Well, we're going to give you a teaser rate for the first 5 years of this, and then it adjusts. So it's very concerning to me as a lender to see that right now we are at 30-month highs on ARM rates right now, or adjustable rate mortgages, that it's just very, very concerning, because the bottom line is an ARM right now is at 3.15 and a fix is at 4.15. So that 1% is not making that big of a difference for you to sit here for the next 5 years and basically lose sleep every night, because it's only going to go in one direction.
Well, you talked about 2 segments ago in 2016, 1 million homeowners went from negative equity to positive equity.
That's right.
Well, then now they're in a great position to start being sold HELOCs.
And that's the thing. We're sitting at right now, that 1 million brought us to 48 million homes right now. So that's 94% of all homes out there right now have positive equity. Okay? And that is why right now, refinancing, there's never been a better time, and we discussed this. But what you want to be looking at doing is, instead of a HELOC or a home equity line of credit, you want to be looking at doing a home equity loan, which the difference between those is a home equity loan is basically a cash-out refinance. And make sure you're not being told one thing and offered something else. So a home equity line of credit or a HELOC is a heck of a lot different than a home equity loan. Okay, so that's one of the things that you've got to make sure of, because yes, right now, James, you are 100% correct. Because everybody's above water, values have never been higher than what they are right now, we are running up against a lot of folks who are being told, get a HELOC. Right now, 21%, we have exceeded, over the last 2 years, HELOCs are up 21%. And Greg, I'd like to get your opinion. What do you think of a HELOC in general?
I think it's a good intermediate loan. It does help people, but in a rising interest rate environment that we're facing, this could get expensive, because most people, what are they doing? They're just paying the interest, getting by. It's really cheap money, but ultimately you need to have a plan for what to do with that. Either write a check and pay it off, or most likely they're going to be needing to call you and do a refinance, because you just can't keep carrying that debt, that balance sheet.
And that's my concern, and you hit it right on the head. My concern is that if they do a HELOC now, the only way that they're going to want to get out of that HELOC down the road is what? Why? Because interest rates are going up, so they will have missed the opportunity. Or two, the value of their home's decreasing, and they're trying to get everything fixed before it's too late, and they're what? Upside down or underwater. Yeah. That is my biggest concern, because unfortunately, too many people. Now, if you're the disciplined person who can go get a HELOC and really be smart, but unfortunately, most people use a HELOC almost like they do a credit card. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to go pick up this car real quick for 20 grand, and I'm going to pay it off in a couple months. And they're stuck with this loan that is now attached to the property, whereas if you're going to do that, get a fixed rate second mortgage or combine everything together with these still fantastic low rates. Let us put everything together and save you money. The name of the game right now is when you're looking down, you can't necessarily be looking at that interest rate number anymore. That's what I want listeners to understand. Forget about the number on a piece of paper. Write down a T, put a T, and I call it the Now and Later program, like the old candy, Parker. You remember that hard candy?
Love Now and Later. Love Now and Later. Oh, yeah.
Take a filling right out of your tooth. Doesn't even stop
and
for a
and
second.
And it's worth it. And you thank
yes,
it.
Yes, absolutely.
You. I didn't
the
need
pain
that filling anyway.
Right. It's great. But when you're looking at it on the left side of your paper, just write what your current interest rate is, but all your debts, just draw a T. And on the right side, write down what all your debts are. If you paid those off, and you're going to be able to see that on average right now, we're saving people over $300 a month and cutting their term. I'm not taking clients from a 25 that have 25 years left and putting them on a 30-year mortgage. We're putting them right back in a 25, even a 20, some of them a 15-year, cutting term and saving $300, $400 a month. So I want customers and folks listening to the show to understand, don't think you missed the opportunity to refinance. What you want to do now is a total debt consolidation. But I am strongly, strongly asking you to really reconsider when it comes to a home equity line of credit, because the rates are only going to go one way, and it's we're in a rising interest rate environment, and they were good to have a couple years back, but I can tell you I'm refinancing anywhere from 4 to 5 HELOCs every single month because people are getting out because theirs are coming due right now and they don't like the new rate that's coming due. Can you imagine? They don't like the 4.25 that it's going to go up to.
Yeah,
so they're right.
Historically
so,
speaking, that's right. That's fantastic.
Right. So they don't like the 4.25 that their rate's going to go up to with the new with their HELOC. So they're coming to me putting it on a 15 to get them 3.5 or 3.75%. Can you imagine in 3 years or 5 years when they go, okay, now my rate is at 6 or 7%? It's going to be a huge wake-up call.
Okay, the alternative to a HELOC, though, would you recommend when, would you call it the cash-out refi?
Yeah, just listen, come to me. Let's not fool ourselves. Don't come get the line of credit. If there's some debt, let's pay off some debt. Let's get rid of that debt. And then if you want to have an open credit card that you're going to go use and maybe run back up, I'd rather see you run up a $3,000 credit card than go run up a HELOC that's going to be adjusting on you in 5 years that's going to really come back to haunt you. Because that credit card, that's a one-time payoff. Trying to pay off $40,000, $50,000 in debt is going to be a lot harder.
What'd you call that cash out? Was it a home?
It's a home equity loan. So you got to watch because people are sly with their wording. Well, yeah, we're going to get you a home equity loan. So you got to be careful. Home equity loan and a home equity line of credit, way, way different.
Yeah,
it
sounds like with a HELOC you have two payments, but with the home equity loan you still just have one payment.
That's right. It's one payment. We combine it with your first mortgage. We get you all the savings wrapped in one, and we put you out the door, and you're a happy camper. You sleep at night, never worrying about what the stock market or anything's doing.
Dwayne, can you stick with us through the break? I want to talk about the psychology of this.
Yes, sir.
All right, this is Dwayne Stein in studio with us, host of the Mortgage Gumbo Show. And Total Wealth Authority member, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome
Welcome. This is Hour 3 of Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, and you are listening to Live Financial Talk Radio.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up in this final hour of the show, wait till you hear our caller of the week. Robert and Past Christiane had an interesting situation where a mother-in-law passed away with an irrevocable trust, and he was wondering what his options were. We'll cover some more of the financial news of the week. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. We're starting off this hour, continuing our discussion with Dwayne Stein. He's the host of Mortgage Gumbo. He is the mortgage lending go-to guy for the Total Wealth Authority, the Justice League for all your finances. He will be at our next Gregory Ricks Live event. Now, it's a women-only event. Women Winning at Life, they liked it. The results from the last time we did this, so they called dibs. We want another one. So, ladies, you're invited, and you're invited only. None of those stinky boys are going to be there with their smelly armpits and hairy legs. It'll just be the ladies. And Dwayne Stein will be there. Dwayne, didn't you notice when we did the women-only event in the fall that they were a lot more chatty, cheerful?
Oh, yes.
They were chatty with each other before the event. People were exchanging phone numbers and making friends, and it's kind of just a happier situation to be in. Nothing against guys, you know, but we're a little more stoic and serious. We got to put on our business face because I'm serious.
It's just the brilliance of Gregory Ricks that he brings together the ladies to chat, because the bottom line is, you know, you heard James. James is living in Kentwood and not in Reno or Cali because wife wanted to live in Kentwood. So, you know, these ladies have a lot of say-so, and when you give them the opportunity in the floor to speak – mercy. It was a lot, and it was good, and it was just very helpful for me to just be able to listen to their questions and hear the difference, because their questions sometimes are a little bit different than the man's, because the man just wants to know, you know, hey, how much money can I get, this and that, and the lady wants to know, okay, so what is this going to cost us in the long run? Has a little bit more behind-the-scenes questions and concerns than just give me that money so I could put my new workshop in.
Well, they ask more questions when men aren't around, yep. And there's a lot more smiles in the room. They're just more cheery, period. They're nicer to be around.
Yep.
Like, guys, it's like, am I supposed to be competing against you or not? I haven't quite assessed that yet.
Well, and they're not battling to make you think that they know everything. I think that's the key.
Yes.
Because that's it. You walk Neil Armstrong in. Hey, you know, well, you can't anymore, but you know where I'm going with this.
Well, this was 5 years ago. And you
right. If Neil Armstrong comes in as a man, and if there's some females there, I got to act like I know what moon rocks are all about. It's just what I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you take all the men out, then it's just females talking about moon rocks, and it's the greatest thing in the world. Oh, there's purple, there's blue, pink. They're great.
Yeah, see, we like being men, and it's fun, but there are some downsides.
Yeah.
All right, Dwayne Stein. I want to talk about the psychology of the house buyer. Gregory was bringing up a good parallel there at the end of the last segment. We're talking about the psychology of the investor or the small business or medium-sized business owner going forward with the uncertainty with what's going to happen with taxes, health care, their regulations. Home buyer is sort of a similar situation, you were saying, Gregory?
Yeah, it's just over time, your home buyers that are needing leverage to finance the house have been trained or locked into this low interest rate world. And it's almost that you've got to help them reset that mindset. And it's not dissimilar from what we do on the investing side, where somebody gets fixated on return or using a number that's too high to think that's a reasonable expectation. So you get them locked in at like, I don't want to pay 4.25. I don't want to pay the 4.15. Heck, I don't want to pay 4. But when's it getting back down to 3.75 or something like that? And then they're frozen. And that's one thing we talked about, I think, was really important for them to learn from, is it's moving up. And right now, forget about the past. Right now is kind of like the greatest time to get something financed, versus we know we're probably at the end of this year looking at mortgages be around 4.6 to 4.75.
Yeah, and you're spot on there, Gregory. And to add to that, you're looking at right now delinquencies are at all-time lows on mortgages, right? So you're going to have inventory really right now being as low as it is for homeowners. That's why you're not going to see the rates. And that's why a mindset of, And that's the biggest thing that I ask clients are always asking me is there any way to get the rate down? Sure there is. But I show my clients all the time when we review the options, there's the opportunity to buy a point here or buy a point there. But when you're looking at buying a discount point, which basically what that means is you're looking to buy your interest rate down. Most of the time in our market and with the rates are at right now, it's not worth it to buy it down. On a $150,000 house I was looking at yesterday with a client to buy the rate down by a half a point. So that's to pay half of that $150,000 house is $750. The difference in payment was like $8. So it was going to take them, my gosh, whatever 750 is divided by 8, 100 months to make that up. I mean, you're talking about just a ton of time, almost 8-9 years to make up that. It's just not worth it, in my opinion, especially if it's not. And we talk about this at your events. I ask everybody, is this your retirement home? If it's not your forever home, I don't want you putting cash as king. I don't want you putting any more money into that house than need be. I want it to build its own equity, not sweat equity or your self-equity that you went and dropped 30,000, 30% there just so you could say you've got 30% equity. The heck with that. Let the market do all those things for you.
Does that jibe well with you, Gregory, as far as the investor standpoint?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, look, even in real estate, you have to adjust your mindset. Whether it's house buying, the financing, because the world is changing. And, yeah, it was great to get a 3%-ish type loan, but now it's a 4%-ish. And when you look out 10, 20 years from now, you're going to be like, wow, I was able to get something under 4.5%. Pretty cool. Because, you know, just think, if we bounce up, next thing you know, 24 months out, we're at 5% 10-year treasury. So you're almost getting, your rule is, they're going to be financing over 6% on 30-year mortgages.
Right.
This is not an unrealistic discussion thinking of where things are headed. This economy expands under this administration. Debt goes up. Going to have to sell more treasuries. The Fed's going to unwind their balance sheet. All that's pushing out to the market to get those treasuries sold, interest rates are going up. Plus, you have the Fed.
The funds rate, push, right.
The funds rate's going up, and their outlook is, it's going up the next few years.
Yeah, and if anyone's ever wondering why we talk about the Fed so much and we hang on their every word, it's because whatever they decide reverberates throughout, especially what Dwayne does. Dwayne, what's coming up on Mortgage Gumbo here in about 50 minutes for our
today,
New Orleans affiliate?
We're going to be talking about credit. We want to talk about FICO score. I'm going to break down for you almost like a pie chart of exactly how your FICO score is determined and really just all about credit. But let me mention one thing real quick, and that's why I want to circle back with Gregory just talked about. In a rising rate environment, that's why I am strongly asking people to heed the warnings in regards to HELOCs, in regards to adjustable rate mortgages, because as interest rates go up, people are going to stay in the houses. So if you're not selling as many houses down the road, what do you think happens to values?
Values will go down.
They flatten, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Or decrease. So if that's the case, these banks aren't going to sit around like they did in 2009 and wait for the first second that they can run some kind of comp report and see that values went down or dipped a tad. You could bet they're going to shut down your equity line of credit or pull it from you in a heartbeat. Whether or not if you borrowed $50,000 and you only used $10,000, they're going to shut you down in a heartbeat.
Hey, it's probably impossible to do this math accurately, but give me a ballpark here. If you have an adjustable rate mortgage, or if you have a HELOC and they move it up on you, I guess I should stick with adjustable rate mortgage, and it goes up 2%, what does that mean on your monthly payment if you have, say, $100,000 in debt? Is that like a $200 increase in your mortgage bill or what?
No, because it's just on your interest rate, and there's interest as well. But it depends on, it's going to totally depend on your loan rate. Usually when you're looking, every 50,000 is usually how I do it, is a difference of every 50,000 adjusts your payment about $100. So it's really just going to depend. So 2%, depending on what your loan size is, could be a tremendous amount. Tremendous. And that's what's happening. I'm seeing people right now that have a $82 HELOC on $30,000 that when this thing comes due, it's jumping up to one we're looking at right now is $425. I don't care who you are in America. If you're Donald Trump or James from Kentwood, you can't budget for $82 going up to $382 or $420 or whatever that number is. Nobody budgets for that. They just say, I'll handle it when it comes up. Well, guess what? The tax man's here, so to speak. He's knocking at the door saying, all right, time to pay. And now you're at the mercy of whatever the bank wants you to pay at that point or whatever's in your contract, which it's never in your favor. It's just like the house at Vegas. It's not meant to be in your favor.
Any crazy stories from the hallways of a cross-country mortgage up there on the North Shore this week?
Really, we've got the biggest thing that we have is, again, I'm concerned, and that's why I'm bringing it up today for Gregory's clients, and we're going to keep talking about it, is really when you're looking at this is the HELOCs, but also tell you what happened this week. Lady named Miss Sue. I cannot wait. I'm so excited about her. She is going to be closing. We got her to write a contract, went to a bank, had a 582 credit score. Miss Sue comes to me. She listens to the show. Gregory, she loves your show also. She comes over to me. She comes in, meets with me. I'm able to get her credit score up in less than an hour by shifting a couple balances around. We get her credit up from a 582 to a 633. Okay, a 633 where this other bank said, we don't touch you below a 640. So even if you can't get your credit score up, lady wrote a contract, and in less than 10 days, she's going to be able to be in a house. Her lease is up on a house on April 30th. We're getting her in a house on April 15th. So pretty excited about that. She was going to be homeless. Bank told her, go fly a kite. We sat down, and like I said, in less than a few minutes, we were able to get her credit score up over 50 points.
That's why we like this guy, this Dwayne Stein fella. All right, for our WRNO affiliate, he'll be on after us. For the Biloxi folks, if you want to hear him, go to the iHeartRadio app, find WRNO, and you can listen to him that way, or you can catch his podcast, MortgageGumbo.com. If you want to be next on the show, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. James Parker here. Hey, do me a favor. Grab your phone real quick. Go download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You can connect with the show. You can call the show or send us a text message. You can connect with the office. You can find our next Gregory Ricks live event. You can set an appointment. You can listen to our podcast, the previous shows. And if you're a client with Gregory Ricks, you can pop up your financial dashboard and see how all your accounts are doing in real time. Plus, there's no pictures of me. The Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Go ahead and download it right now, because eventually you're going to need it.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Everybody's mindset is to be a millionaire at retirement because of inflation and lost buying power. Remember, in 1974, a Big Mac cost 75 cents. Is that some inflation or what?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo.
Every time I ask it how many homeowners are in the audience, it's 100%, let's say 90% to be safe. But then when I say how many are in a retirement home, you go down to 10, 20%.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, GregoryRicks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
how can we create a financial tool that gives returns like bonds, also has an upside, and when interest rates go up, that gets melded into it as well. You do not have interest rate risk. You do not have credit risk. You don't have default risk. And all the money's in actual reserves, not being spent elsewhere. And that's using a fixed annuity. Then you come back and say, well, I'm not really liking that because I have to lock my money up. The way we structure it, that's a myth. You have surrender provisions, but whenever I build something, I always kind of look for what are my benefits and what are my exits.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Music for your wallet's ears. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. And it's a beautiful Saturday, isn't it? Isn't it lovely outside? No? No, not so much? No, it doesn't look like a Tahitian sunrise? No?
Well, it's looking great, but, you know, it's getting better as the day goes. Like, around 6 o'clock, the sun's going to be out.
Oh, beautiful. I like gloomy weather, though, especially in the summer.
Reminds you of Seattle?
I've never been to Seattle.
Well,
just reminds me of the apocalypse, and I look very much forward to that. Just burn this whole place down. Hey, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. Caller of the day so far, James in Kentwood, because he got our wheels turning now. And we want to do a little more digging into some options here. The 1031 exchange is what looks like maybe his vehicle to redemption for the problem that he brought to us in the last hour. This may be his answer.
Yeah, so since we talked about it, I just want to make sure that listeners understand what a 1031 exchange is. The term 1031 exchange, a.k.a. the Starker exchange or like-kind exchange.
I'm sorry, did you call it a Starker?
Yes.
Is that named after the guy who invented it? Because that makes no sense. Okay.
Is defined under Section 1031 of the IRS Code. To put it simply, a 1031 exchange allows an investor to defer paying capital gains taxes on an investment property when it is sold, as long as another like-kind property is purchased with the profit gained by the sale of the first property. Now, there's a bunch of rules to go with this, but in regard to what James had asked, you know, the key thing here is like kind of property, and I've got a number of rules, and we might do a whole hour of this. This is some pretty cool stuff.
Well, this is what we have to look up.
And I don't know, it may be 2 years ago we spent some time on 1031 exchanges. Somebody in the real estate business needs to understand this. You need to get out of one property and get into another, and you don't want to, like, can I avoid the taxes? Yeah, you can defer them. You're not going to make them just go away. To qualify as a 1031 exchange, the property being sold and the property being acquired must be like-kind. Very broad term, but it's meaning that both the properties must be the same nature or character, even if they differ in grade or quality. In other words, you can't exchange farming equipment for an apartment building because they're not the same asset. In terms of real estate, you can exchange almost any type of property as long as it's not personal property. Some examples: exchanging an apartment building for a duplex is allowed. Exchanging a single-family rental property for a commercial office building would be allowed.
That was his situation.
Yeah, a little further. Exchanging rental property or vacation rental for a restaurant space would be allowed. Now, it's important to note the original and replacement properties must be within the U.S. to qualify under Section 1031. So you're not going to Mexico to do this. Another fact, when using this Starker exchange, doesn't have to be one-to-one exchange. For example, you can exchange one property for multiple replacement properties and vice versa. You can exchange multiple properties for one larger property as long as the new properties are like your original properties, you're good. And there's the second is investment or business property only. A 1031 exchange is only applicable to investment or business property, not personal property. You can't swap a primary residence for another. And no, don't go doing some play games with that. Going to get you in trouble. If you move from California to Georgia and you could not exchange your primary residence in California for another primary residence in Georgia. If you were to get married and move into your home of your partner, you could not exchange your current primary residence for a vacation property. And if you were to own a single family property in Idaho, you could exchange it for a commercial property in Texas. Once again, single-family rental property in Idaho, you could exchange it for a commercial property in Texas. That's another part of his question there. And you can go 3-to-1, 1-to-3, but you do have to go up. You cannot exchange for lesser value.
All of that was good news for our new friend in Kentwood there.
Yeah, and we're going to cover more of this. I can just go on and on and on this, and we'll probably, you know, one of the daily wraps will do it, no longer segment next week, because we're burning minutes here, and we still have a lot to cover.
Yes, we do. I think we should start diving right into it here. You all right with that?
Yes.
All right.
What about when were we playing on the next segment, Caller of the Week?
No, actually, it could fit in this one because it's only 4.5 minutes. You want to go ahead and do that, and we'll probably get a better reaction coming out the break. Robert Pass Christian, this is from Thursday's Daily Wrap, if I'm not mistaken.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Robert in Pass Christian, Mississippi. You're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
Several years ago, my wife and her sisters, along with my mother-in-law, went to an attorney and set up an irrevocable trust for my mother-in-law. And the question came up this week, and I guess it was to prevent the Social Security spend down. And so she happened to be looking through the trust this week and came across a page that said tax returns. And then we started doing a little bit more research, realized that I think they should have been filing a tax return for the irrevocable trust each year. Is that correct?
If it has a federal tax ID number, it's going to need tax returns.
Okay. I don't think it has a federal ID number. It was set up by an attorney. It was for my mother-in-law. Would the attorney have applied for a federal ID number?
I don't know that. Uh-huh. I'm pretty versed in everything. I've just not had conversations. Some trusts that you set up are going to be run that way, then others aren't, because basically it's off of your Social Security number. But being it's irrevocable, what it really comes down to is you do not have possession of the assets.
Correct.
That trust does. And one thing about an irrevocable trust, if that money's not passing through or out of it, you're going to get taxed at max income tax rates inside of a trust. So it does have to do with how that is structured and set up. So you need to go back to the attorney that set it up or consult with another one. Maybe the easier task is talk to your tax accountant or CPA regarding that trust account. I just want to clear up the muddied water on that. And irrevocable trust, as I mentioned, is treated as an entity that is legally independent of its grantor for tax purposes. Accordingly, trust income is taxable, and the trustee must file a tax return on behalf of the trust. If the income is distributed to trust beneficiaries or if a charitable deduction is claimed, additional tax documentation is required. A trust must have an employer identification number, so it needs a federal tax ID number. That's why I'd asked if it was issued one. Because sometimes people confuse irrevocable, revocable. A revocable trust is not a separate entity because, you know, the money's not, the assets are not at arm's length. You're creating an irrevocable trust because you no longer want possession of those assets. They've been separated from you. You may be the trustee. You can also be the beneficiary, but it is separated from you. The trustee must file Form 1041 if the trustee if the trust has any taxable income for the year, or if it has at least $600 in income for the year, even if none of it is taxable. Form 1041 requires the trust to report its identification information, details of its income, deductions, and tax payments. Trust deductions include expenses for attorney's fees, accountant fees, trustee compensation, interest, state and local taxes, certain investment losses, bad debts. I can continue on. So the answer is yes, get with your tax professional.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Back live now. So irrevocable trust. So when he came in and he said he got an irrevocable trust, but he wasn't sure if it had a tax ID number, we're pretty sure that has a tax ID number, right?
Yeah. At least, you know, calling in, now he has more information to kind of verify, is that how the trust is set up? Where is the tax ID number? If it doesn't have one, going to have to get one. There could be some things undone, and that's, you know, surprisingly, it does happen that way. But at least they can get on the path to get that repaired.
I mean, shouldn't we have some sort of estate planning training at some point in our lives? You know, we make our kids go to school for 13 years guaranteed, and then maybe another 4, 5, 7 years with college. At some point, shouldn't we be teaching people about...
You didn't take that in college?
I missed that one. I did get to read Beowulf and learn about Grendel and his mom, so that was important too. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Speaking with somebody the other day, I said, how's that car repair coming? It's not ready yet, but I've got a bigger problem. I've got to come up with the $500 on the deductible. Yeah, that's running things pretty tight, isn't it? You know what? A lot of people do that. It's where we talk about, I've got to start saving money for retirement. I've got to put some money away. What do you have? Well, I don't have anything yet, but I'm wanting to get started. How much savings do you have? Well, I don't really have any savings. We're going to start with savings because the last thing you need is to say, put that money into securities or a safe money tool, and all of a sudden you're needing to go grab that money, and it might be expensive to go pull it back out.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, it's spiritual.
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies.
I kinda love it.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
One thing, you definitely should accelerate your payments. It makes a big difference by just making an extra 2 payments a year, because that's one thing we're like to retire is that mortgage when they retire. Boom, you've added cushion.
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Yeah, we talk about stocks and all these different choices and where we think a bottom might be. And you have to be careful with all of your decisions and seek professional licensed help in doing this.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com. But you gotta keep your
head up. You've been saying you need to get it together. Time to call Gregory. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. No, it's hard to remember sometimes, but you gotta keep your head up. Oh, and you can let your head down.
Hey, welcome back. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Having a good weekend. If you have a financial situation, maybe we can make your weekend a little better. 504-260-0995. And look at that. We just had a great call from Past Christiane that we replayed from the Daily Wrap version. By the way, if you're a fan of the Saturday version, we do this every weekday as well at 7 p.m., Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. I guess they're having trust issues over for our neighbors in Mississippi because Jess in Pastor Christiane has a call for us as well. How can we help you, Jess?
Yeah, I have a special needs trust fund set up. I'm on Social Security, disabled, and let's say I put a lot of money into this special needs trust fund, and I'm not happy with the company. And I'm trying to find out, is there another company? Because I've been looking on the web and everything, trying to find other even, you know, call a couple places besides Gregory Ricks. That's why I'm calling y'all to move it.
Who's the beneficiary of the trust? You?
Me.
And so you have a third-party custodian or trustee?
Yes.
Okay, and that's who you're unhappy with?
Yes, I'm unhappy with the company. I was leery about it in the beginning, and I questioned them a lot before I gave them all the money. And what they told me is not what they do. And I mean, I could give you examples, but basically it's like they're trying to hold on to your money when they shouldn't be. I mean, it's like what I request, just for example, my refrigerator went out about a month and a half ago. And it took them over a week and a half before they would decide to replace my refrigerator in my home. And it's like, you have all my money in this account, and my refrigerator went out, and I'm sitting here living out of an ice chest, and you're making money off my money, but when I need the money, you don't give it to me. Basically along them lines.
Well, just to state what we're talking about here, to preserve governmental benefits and protect assets, supplemental needs trust, sometimes called a special needs trust, is a specialized legal document designed to benefit an individual who has a disability.
Right.
Do you have the power to change custodians? You're not the trustee. The third-party trustee is the trustee because it's got to be at arm's length from you. It can't be income to you. It would affect your benefits. What is your actual power?
I could call my attorney for that. Oh, actually, I already did.
Well, your document probably should cover that.
He sent me over a complete copy of it, and he's not aware of another company. But he did tell me that there, if I could find another company that handles special needs trust funds, that he would, you know, do whatever he's got to do to switch it.
So that's what the attorney said?
Yeah.
Is your current custodian a bank?
I can tell you the name of it if you want me to say it over there.
No, I don't. Probably in a positive discussion about them if you're unhappy, so we don't want to malign them.
Exactly.
In that way, you're just unhappy about the processes of that. Have you actually talked to them about the processes and the timelines to have an understanding of why it works this way?
On a few occasions, yes.
Yeah, and it wasn't to your satisfaction?
Not at all. And my attorney and I and the company were on a conference call before, and I was very specific on things. Just like I was telling you about my refrigerator, I even asked him, I said, what happens if my air conditioning goes out? Mr. Compton, we'll pay ACH or by a credit card. It'll be done in 24 hours. Well, come to find out, things like that. No, they're not doing what they said. And you're the financial guru, but I mean, if what I'm using the funds for is completely allowable, but they're just dragging their feet on it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're almost a number there and not an important client.
Exactly.
I know banks, and you're over in Mississippi, there's banks here that have, typically it is banks that have a custody department that manage these things or direct them.
And do you do that?
No, we do not act as a trustee or custodian regarding trust accounts. But this is one of the things where a lot of times it's a family member or somebody involved with that is the custodian or trustee of the account. And it's more personalized in that way. But when you, at some point, and that's where a mom and dad, for example, will set up has a special needs child, and they'll set up a special needs trust because the child can't inherit that wealth. But it can go through a special needs trust and be at arm's length and allow the child to still get their benefits, plus get that financial help in ways that are allowable. So when you have the parents die, then you have to have in place a third-party custodian to handle that aspect of it. You can't have control because then that would negate the special needs trust. So in that case, I always kind of think that's the questionable thing because we know a third-party custodian is going to charge you more than mom will, so to speak.
Oh, they make money off of me. They make a good bit of money. And that's what I'm saying.
So there's an expense there, and then it's kind of like this obviously is a big firm that does a lot of this, and it's not streamlined. And how much assets overall is there we're talking about?
Roughly about $150,000.
Okay. Yeah.
Their account.
Is talk to them to where they, you need something. It's kind of important, not needing a week to get it done, but, in some cases, next day should be that capability. And if you're going to find somebody else, you need to have that discussion that this gets done for you in a timely manner. And maybe talk, to some of your local banks.
Yeah,
if they have a department.
Here's what I'm thinking, Jess. Special needs people tend to run in communities with people who have similar issues. So if you have other friends that are under the umbrella of a special needs trust, would that be a good idea to talk to them and find out if they're happy with their trustee and or custodian? Because, sometimes word of mouth is going to be more helpful than looking on the internet.
But if he's – and with that said, there are – banks and that have trust departments in his area. He just needs to reach out to a few and have a discussion. His attorney probably knows of a few.
That's the thing about, you see, when you're saying special needs, most, from what I saw, you know, on the internet, most of their clients are under the quote unquote special needs, like Mr. Gregory was saying, you know, as far as like parents, you know, bringing them down to a special. I'm just disabled, and I'm just covering my disability and putting it in that sense. I mean, I have all my marbles, and, yeah, you know, my home is paid for, you know, my vehicle's paid for, everything's paid for, but all they do is they pay my bills, but they're making money off of my money, of course. But when I need something, you know, like, you know, point out, like my refrigerator went up, you know, right. They need to be a little more timely.
Yeah, it's got to be tough.
And I'd have to have that discussion with them on Monday about timeliness. What can we do to fix the time problem? And if not, going to have to find another custodian. And let me ask you this way. The custodian that you're using, is it a local one to you or somewhere else?
No, it's in Arizona.
Okay, that might be part of the problem. See if you can find somebody local to talk to. Start with some of the local banks that have a trust department. Keep us updated.
Thank you very much for your call there, Jess. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995, you can get some financial guidance from Gregory right now. Coming up next, I want to try and run a comment card and preview our next couple of live events coming up. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
How about your traditional IRA and 401k? If your earnings are in the higher tax brackets, you can benefit from contributing to a traditional IRA or 401k. This reduces your income and eliminates capital gains as a result of trading inside the account.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
The National Council on Aging is the nation's leader of helping people 60 years and older meet the challenges of aging. They partner with nonprofit organizations, government, and businesses to provide services such as utility bill assistance, wellness and nutrition options, and many other everyday tasks that get more difficult with age. For more information on the National Council on Aging, call or visit your local branch. The Jefferson Council on Aging, 6620 Riverside Drive, Suite 216, Metairie, Louisiana, 504-888-5880.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our CPA, Jude Heath.
For taxpayers that get these phone calls, it's very scary. Give us a call. We'll call them back on your behalf. And usually those calls then go away.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
If we take a dollar and double it every year, then we go out 20 years, you'll have $1,048,576. But is Uncle Sam just going to let that fly that way for you? So if we're doing this and we go out 20 years and we've had 33% peeled off of our doubling each year, so with being taxed, what do you think that number is? $750,000, $28,000 is what you would have. So you go from this massive amount of money of $1 million to less than $28,000 when you consider taxes, and fees.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200. Tell me what you want to hear.
Big enough to deliver, small enough to care. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. We have just a few more minutes left in the show, and we'll be handing off at 1 o'clock. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. If you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, 504-260-0995.
We have live events that we like to do on a regular basis, Gregory Ricks Live, and all it is a situation where you can come in, meet the staff, meet the Total Wealth Authority, get a presentation from Gregory Ricks. And we call it a financial first date. How do you know if Gregory Ricks and Associates is the right investment advisory firm for you? What if our philosophies don't match up? What happens if we don't get along? Well, you got to have a first date first. We don't expect everyone to just jump in and jump all over us. No. Our next one coming up is a women-only event. It's April 19th, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. The next one coming up after that is in June. The last one that we had, though, was last week. And when you go to these, in order to answer your questions, we don't just let people shout off at Gregory. When you come in, what's your primary concern? Write it down on a card. People like that more because there's also a sense of anonymity, and you don't have to worry about stuttering or saying something wrong or embarrassing. And the feedback is always fantastic. We like to answer these on subsequent shows. One of the ones that we're going to run by right here is a two-parter. What's your primary concern? Number one, I have 401s scattered all around. How to bring them all together to better work for me. Part two will be how would I then make money and how would you make money off of those contributions? All right, so part one, how to bring together scattered 401s.
Doing a rollover IRA is one of the easiest ways to do that. They all can be combined. Ultimately, doesn't mean the money should all be doing the same job or managed under the same strategy. They could then be kind of assigned multiple jobs in that case. It could roll over to your current 401k if you have one with your current employer as well. But I don't think they should stay scattered out there. It just kind of becomes forgotten money, and it makes it easier to solve for estate planning rules. And you might not like how ERISA makes some decisions on how the beneficiary structure is as certain things play out. And I think it's a great idea to do a rollover account, and you have the full universe of all the choices to invest, whether it's risk or risk averse, risk on or risk off. You just have, you know, thousands and thousands of choices versus those few that are in those 401ks.
How would I then make money, and how would you make money?
You would make money by growing the account. That's kind of the purpose of that. It depends on what it's invested in, and that's something you would be involved in that process. We're there to help, but you're the one going to ultimately sign off on what we're doing going forward. And from how do I make money, we're fee-based asset managers at my firm. That's how we go about making money.
All right. Coming up Tuesday on the Daily Wrap, we're going to be talking with John Georges. He is one of, I think, only two billionaires in the state of Louisiana. And he's the CEO of Imperial Trading. But look, we know him from 10 other things. He ran for mayor here in New Orleans back in 2010. He's a known entity and one of the titans of business around here. And We look forward to chatting with him. It'll be probably like right at 7:05 on Tuesday's edition, so stick around for that. To the phones we go. Mike in Harahan, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Trying to figure out, I guess, what I'm going to do as far as investment-wise. I do very well. I'm 34 years old. Make well into the six figures. I own some rental property, and I'm also invest as much as I can afford into my current 401k. What I'm trying to find out is there other investment vehicles that I should be looking at for future mailbox money whenever I retire? And also, should I be paying off debt, more debt as far as the mortgages?
Sounds like you have multiple mortgages.
Yes.
And that's some of that's on your rental properties.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the objectives, I would say long term, is to have rental properties that you don't have debt. I know some of the strategies of building a real estate empire deals with leveraging properties to acquire more, but the end game...
Like Kurosaki says.
Yeah.
You hear the skepticism there, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried, and I also read some of Dave Ramsey's stuff, and he believes in no debt. And Kurosaki's like, if you have $1, you should leverage it to get two, you know?
Yeah, you have to be careful. I just have to be careful with that rule.
Yeah,
but the end game would be to have those rental properties debt-free, and it's all cash flow. You're going to have upkeep expenses, tax, insurance, such as that. But I would rather be in a situation where I'm tax-free. I'm not tax-free, but full cash flow from those properties. That's got to be the ultimate end game.
Without a doubt. You know, I plan on having those paid off before I retire. But I'm just curious if paying those off quicker on a mortgage that's 4% would be more beneficial than actually taking those.
Well, look, Gregory's going to know. You mind if I guess and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong? It depends on what you're going to pay them off with. If you have to take this money, run it through your business, and then in order for you to contribute more to your retirement savings, you've got to pay the taxes on that money to get it out of the business and get into your personal pocket. You're taking a big hit right there, especially considering, Mr. I make well into the six figures. You're going to get a big old tax bill off of that. Maybe if it has to stay in the business side, it would be more efficient to pay off the properties with that money, considering if you're funding your 401k and if you're getting to the max on some of these tax-efficient vehicles, yeah, you may just want to keep that in the business and pay those down. What do you think about that, Gregory?
Are you a W-2 employee?
Yes.
Okay. He's not a business owner. It's 4% return on your money as far as paying it down.
Correct.
If you were to drain liquidity or emergency money, that would be a concern. You have to have a basis standpoint. You have to have some cash on that.
I have 6 months of reserves saved up.
And so if you're accelerating it, you know, just that thing of, you know, adding that extra payment a year or two to shorten that timeline gets you to that cash flow. Ultimately, you want it to time out and definitely be clear of the debt, all debt, when you retire.
Yeah.
At that point. Now, as far as other savings and tools, to, you know, maximize your 401k, get pre-tax. If you can do some Roth, if your income is in that range that allows you to do that. If you don't have outside IRAs, you can do a backdoor Roth and get some future tax-free distributions going. And make sure you're diversified. Don't have everything in equities. I think there should be some balance created out there.
How did you know he was a W-2 employee? I missed that.
I asked him.
I know, but you went down that road.
Yeah.
I know you've done this before, but how did you know? How did I miss that?
I don't know what to tell you on that.
All right.
I needed to know that. Now, he's six-figure plus income. If your income range is a couple hundred thousand and up, there might be where you could do some tax efficiently, create a deferred, non-qualified pension program that could be tax deductible going in and tax efficient coming out. That would be something to maybe to talk about as well in helping you create wealth that's tax efficient.
They have those with survivor benefits, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Okay.
Look at him thinking about his wife there, huh?
Of course. Mike, of course.
Good job, Mike. Anything else we can do for you, sir?
No, that was very well. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks for the call. Hey, questions like that, he'll probably follow up with us at the office, kind of calls for that, you know, business hour call to the office. And if you're needing help during work days, the business week, 8 to 5, so to speak, give my office a call, 504-832-9200, and we can extend these conversations. Or you're listening and saying, gosh, I need some of that. Give us a call.
You are not invited to our next event, Mike. That is for women only. That's coming up April 19th. So, ladies, listen, you know, some of these callers may make you feel a little bad. You're like, geez, I'm not nearly that successful. They're doing a lot better than me. Yeah, they probably are, but that's all right. We can help you too. In fact, a big chunk of our business is made up of people who are not doing as awesome as Mike in Harahan or James in Kentwood. And we'd love to help you out. Find out more. Find out if we're right for you. Come enjoy a nice little evening. Sit at a table with your peers. Meet some fine people. And maybe we will be your new financial path forward. Your home away from the show, GregoryRicks.com and the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Stick around. If you're listening on our New Orleans affiliate, Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein is coming up next for our listeners in Biloxi. Some guy who happens to be fantastic at radio, his name's Rush Limbaugh. He's coming up next. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.